Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Sometimes it's just nice to be appreciated, and maybe that's what the Arkansas stuff is all about. Welcome in. It is a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. I'm Todd Bromelkamp. He's Alex Kuhn. You can't see us. We're not on ESPN. We don't make between $8 and $10 million a year like a certain ESPN personality does, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. We've got a great show for you today. We're not talking David Bodie for more than maybe 30 seconds on the show today. Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago is set to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk Cubs, White Sox, Bears, and more with Chris. Travis Hines of the Ames Tribune is with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his reaction to seeing Fred Hoiberg wearing the Nebraska logo. And Colonels manager Brian Dinkelman will stop by inside the 6 o'clock hour tonight. Colonels getting ready to open the 2019 Midwest League season in just a little over 24 hours from now. 6:35 tomorrow night, first pitch at Veterans Memorial Stadium as the Colonels host the Peoria Chiefs. An opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub inside the 6 o'clock showdown and a whole lot more. But first, Alex, it's silly season.
Yes,
it is. And look, I'm getting ready to go to bed last night, and the first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning and the last thing that I do before I go to bed at night, and maybe this is an unhealthy habit, but of all the unhealthy habits that I have or have had in my life, it's probably not the worst one. I don't think it's going to kill me. Maybe it will. I don't know. Maybe I will die holding my phone in my hand. But one of the last things that I do at night before I go to bed, I take one last peek at Twitter. I see what's going on. Just don't want to get caught off guard by anything. And last night before I go to bed, I see that some random person who I don't think anybody around these parts knows puts out into the Twitter sphere that Arkansas is talking to three people about its open coaching job. And one of those three people happens to call Iowa City home. And from there, the snowball rolled downhill. You thought all of the snow was melted and gone in eastern Iowa? No. The snowball rolled downhill pretty quickly on this. Fran McCaffrey, Richard Pitino, and Eric Musselman all, I'll say reported, but Twitter is, how is Twitter free? That's what I want to know. Where you can go on Twitter and say virtually anything that you want, and you will send a group of people, in this particular instance, folks who cover the Iowa basketball program, scrambling. Is there anything to this? Is there smoke?
Where's the flight tracker?
Don't get me started on flight tracker.
The flight tracker is the most, that I don't understand why is, I don't understand why the flight tracker is free.
So
you should have to pay for that.
You should. Just as we pay for many, many things. And look, Twitter's free. Flight tracker's free. The Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line is 319-366-1600. We want to hear from you today. Do you put any stock into the seemingly ridiculous notion that there could be interest from either side, Fran McCaffrey and Arkansas, in poaching him from Iowa? Now, I got a delicate, fine line to walk here, because Fran McCaffrey is on the record with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com saying that he is not interested in the job, right? Was that the verbiage? Or that he hasn't talked to anybody?
I believe that Rob asked if he had spoken to Arkansas about the head coaching job, and the answer was no. Very simply, no.
And as we all know, coaches always tell the truth. So we just and then that's the end of the story. And again, this isn't an attack on Fran McCaffrey. The coach, any coach in this particular instance, has no point in telling the truth, really. I mean, deny it. Do it and deny it. It goes on all the time. But could this be as simple? And I've spent a lot of time last night thinking about this, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about it this morning. And look, it would be oil and water. It wouldn't be a good fit. I think out of the three candidates, maybe you sell Musselman to the Arkansas fan base. You want to bring a Patino spawn into the SEC and all of the baggage that comes with that. And here's what I think is going. And I am alive. The last time I checked, I am allowed to have opinions. I'm in the opinion business. Sometimes those opinions rub people the wrong way, and that's fine. They can go on not having any opinions. That's fine. Here's what I think is going on here. I think maybe, just maybe, Fran McCaffrey wants the small portion or the growing portion of the Iowa fan base, however you want to. There are people out there that would not be sad to see him leave.
We've heard from many of them, yes.
And we have heard from many of them. And I think that Fran McCaffrey maybe is sending a little bit of a message here. It's just a theory. It's a working theory that, hey, you know what? There are other schools out there who want me. It's always nice to be liked.
Right, because
it's nice to have callers call in and say, hey, I love the show. I appreciate the honesty when people, if anybody called in and said they don't like the show and you're still listening to it, but it's always nice to feel wanted. And so here's what I think. And you guys can let me know just how far off base I am here. If I'm far enough off base that John Lester can pick me off, then I got an issue. But you can use the text line or you can pick up the phone and call 366-1600. I don't think Fran McCaffrey wants to leave Iowa City, and I don't think the University of Arkansas wants Fran McCaffrey as its head coach. But I also think that there's reason to believe that perhaps a meeting took place.
I'm almost sure a meeting took place.
And
I'm almost sure of it.
The reporting is out there that there was a plane from Springdale, Arkansas, and it just so happens to, ironically enough, have landed and spent a couple hours in three locations on Monday, which is April Fool's Day, which, by the way, if this is all a work, if this is some elaborate ruse, then kudos to whoever pulled this off by planting the flight tracker data and renting the plane and flying it all across the country. But I don't think that's the case. A plane left Springdale, Arkansas, which is a suburb of Fayetteville, a neighboring community, and spent some time in Iowa City on Monday, Minneapolis, and Reno, Nevada. And again, the three candidates that some rando on Twitter reported his source saying Arkansas was contacting Fran McCaffrey, Richard Pitino, and Eric Musselman. Just so happened to call those three locations home. Now, Iowa, and I say Iowa, this is Matt Weitzel, the sports information director at the University of Iowa, took to Twitter today, tweeting at Scott Docterman of The Athletic, who posted the flight tracker information, that Fran McCaffrey spent Monday afternoon in Des Moines at a function with student athletes. Okay, that's factual and it's on the record. It also takes 2 hours to get to Des Moines. So there's a lot of wiggle room here. You could make something work, but what you have is the coach saying that nobody, and again, Rob can elaborate more on this tomorrow when he is sitting in. I'll tell you a little bit more about that coming up in just a little bit. But Rob reached out for further elaboration, And that further elaboration is that I didn't talk to anybody. My agent didn't talk to anybody. Nobody that I know talked to. And again, you take a coach at their word, and you take a coach's word with a grain of salt. And again, there's no reason here to, there's no benefit to telling the truth. But I also don't think that there's anything more here than maybe doing somebody a favor. Maybe you're playing footsie for, I don't know what.
Leverage?
Well, you go, yeah.
We always talk about that. That is something.
Steve Prohm just happened to be an alum of Alabama, and that coaching job came open, and it turned into a 3-year extension and presumably more money. I still don't think we've seen the details of that contract come out. Never let an opportunity pass you by. Now, as awkward as I think Steve Alford and his personality would be in Fayetteville, I can't see folks in Arkansas embracing a brash Yankee, for lack of a better term. I've spent some time in Arkansas. They do use that term there, from Philadelphia. It would be oil and water.
No, it'd be a terrible fit.
And it makes such little sense that I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I don't think it's going to happen. I think this is just Fran McCaffrey, perhaps, or somebody associated with Fran McCaffrey, if there is indeed something to this, sending a message to some of the Iowa fans that, you know what? Kiss my rear end.
Yeah, I think
you don't like me. Other people do.
Right, because how long
four of the last 6 seasons he's gotten Iowa to the NCAA tournament. And he feels as if he's unappreciated by some of his own fan base. Could you blame a coach for looking around, even if that job is a quote-unquote lateral move or it's not as good? Our poll question today, by the way, at KGYMradio.com, is which men's basketball job is better, Arkansas or Iowa? And I'm Iowa State fans, troll away. Iowa fans, go ahead and vote. Emil's Hideaway appreciates it one way or the other, as do we. But this is so bizarre. I didn't think that there was anything to this, and I almost felt guilty even following up on this. But I wouldn't be doing my job if I mean, it's one thing to just sit here and turn a microphone on and talk. I do follow up on these things. I try to get to the bottom of stuff. I try to work hard to do as good of a program as I can here. And the response that I got from somebody that I talked with was kind of the equivalent of the shoulder shrug emoji, a non-denial denial. And other people have other folks on the record, and this is just bizarre. And what are the possible outcomes here? Other than if there's no interest at all, and this is just completely made up, and there's nothing, you know, people are connecting dots that aren't meant to be connected.
Why? Yeah, but have you ever heard people say that information doesn't get out that people don't want out?
Yes.
You've heard that? Saying before? Stuff doesn't get out that one party or the other doesn't want to get out.
Look at the Major League Baseball, the extensions, all of that information that gets out.
Exactly.
Or this just free agency, this offseason from hell, in which there were leak after leak after leak from the Machado camp or the Harper camp or this team's front office. Well, we offered Bryce Harper $300 million. It turns out Harper, we'll get to coming up later on in the program, making his return to Washington last night. It turns out that some of that, a good portion of that $300 million was deferred until Harper was like 80 years old. So you told your fan base that you offered him $300 million, and that's a life-changing amount of money to a lot of people, and they get upset at Bryce Harper for turning down $300 million. He gets all of the money now from the Nationals, or from the Phillies, over the next 13 years. He's not waiting until he's 70 or 80. To get a paycheck Bobby Bonilla style? Get out of here.
I look at Fran McCaffrey's career at Iowa, and no matter what you say about him, he has turn this program around from where it was under Todd Licklider to get it to this point now where he's going to be going into year 10 with a 570 winning percentage. In 10 years, you don't think that some schools have come and talked to him? You don't think that he's spoken to other people about another job? Regardless of what you think of him, I guarantee you there have been other schools out there that have been attractive. Have you heard about it? No, you haven't. And all of a sudden, you're hearing about it this time around. And I ask, why is that? And I think if you get to that answer, you go back to what I just said about information not getting out there. Information gets out there when people want it to get out there.
I don't think Fran McCaffrey wants to coach many other places than the University of Iowa. And I think he's just got, look, as far as basketball seasons go, this last one was really, really bizarre. Okay? We had a basketball team in Iowa City that began the season undefeated in the non-conference schedule. And then along the way, you had not one but two controversies with your play-by-play announcer. That's strange. It's out there. It's on the record. Everybody knows about it. You had a very public blow-up at Ohio State, which resulted in a two-game suspension. Maybe Fran is upset about the suspension. Maybe he's sending a message to Gary Barta. Hey, treat me better, or I'll find another school that would employ me, because they're out there. I am doing the same thing that many of you are doing, rampantly speculating on this. But I've spent a great deal thinking about this, and nothing here really makes sense other than all of these tiny little threads that are out there. You can follow whatever thread you want to, and you get to the point where you have to make a conclusion, and the conclusion is it wouldn't make sense to do this. It doesn't make sense from Arkansas's standpoint. Do you think Arkansas can, no offense here, do you think Arkansas can sell Fran McCaffrey to its fan base? I think that would be a tough sell. I'm looking at the other two names they're thinking it would be a tough sell. Richard Pitino?
I think Eric Musselman is the best Musselman name of the
again,
three.
Out of the three, I think it's most likely. Pitino is a nomad. It's amazing to me that he's lasted as long as he has in the Twin Cities, because he'd never held a job for more than 3 years prior to getting this gig with the Gophers. And they're kind of tired of him up there, and I think he's probably tired of the media up there. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Fran's tired of the media here. The old Lute Olson fishbowl strikes again. I don't know. But all of this is coming about because some random person on Twitter put it out there. And you go down the rabbit hole, and maybe there's a tiny thread of truth here, and maybe there's not. But
there seems to be, based on Flight Tracker.
It's
will say
got
that.
People talking, and that includes Chris Earl of Channel 9. I got to be really honest here. I haven't heard from Chris in a really long time, and I know his work schedule and everything. I really thought maybe I had alienated Chris somewhere along the way and had lost you as a listener. So Chris Earl of Channel 9 joining us on the program here. My friend, how are you?
Hello, boys. You know, nothing gets me fired up like the speculation of coaching moves. Oh, I've been giddy since I first heard about this at like noon today. Just curious as to how all this goes. So, you know, you got the Flight Tracker stuff, and you can always take that with a grain of salt. But my question for you, though, is how amazing is it? Now, think back to 1995. We're both about the same vintage, you know, wheelhouse for age. UCLA and Arkansas were playing for the national title. Now they can't find a coach. And I can't help but also think about the comparisons between Arkansas over the last 20 years and really the Hawkeyes. I threw this out there on Twitter, where you go back past 20 years, since 1999, Iowa's, I think, 4-6 now in the NCAA tournament. Arkansas's 4-8, both of them with a bit of faded glory from the 80s and 90s. Arkansas's highs were a little bit higher, but Iowa was far more consistent during that stretch. And, yeah, it would be a lateral move, but you see this. You see this often. People were wondering why Alford left for New Mexico back in 2007. lateral moves happen often if a coach thinks that they're, you know, they might, now I'm not saying that's the case here because I don't know. Again, this is just part of the fun speculation, is that, you know, maybe if a coach wants to see what levels of leverage that they have. And they all have the level of deniability, too, because they can just say, oh, my agents talked. That's why you have agents for something like this. But what's your gut tell you on this? I'm curious.
My gut on this tells me that when we tip off the men's basketball season in November of 2019, Fran McCaffrey is still on the Iowa sidelines. But my gut also tells me that something happened here, whether it was a brief meeting or a conversation. I don't know, and I don't know if we'll ever know completely what's going on here. But I do think that something is afoot here. But I don't think it's going to result in any sea change.
Generally speaking, something like this does not come out unless somebody wants it out, especially now in 2019, because all you can just do is get together with your agent and say to your agent, hey, can I use your phone for a FaceTime call? And then you can talk to whoever the AD is or if there's a search firm involved.
Corn Ferry.
There's no tracks that come up with something like this. And one point about Arkansas, while I think that they are they have been struggling a lot lately. They haven't gotten the coach right since Nolan left back in 2002. They haven't gotten the program right. They've got an awful lot of money there. Now, they're very isolated. And I know when there was talk about Kelvin Sampson from Houston maybe going to Arkansas, I was kind of wondering aloud, thinking, is that even a better job anymore? Because I think you can recruit to Houston easier in 2019 than you can Arkansas. But when people think of Arkansas, yeah, small state, and Fayetteville's pretty isolated, but Northwest Arkansas, because of Walmart and all the companies that send their top people to do business with Walmart, is one of the most affluent places in the country now. I mean, they can write blank checks all over the place and still be subpar in the SEC. And I think that can lure a lot of coaches to at least give it a long look. That's my thoughts.
Glad to hear from you, Chris. Now go get some sleep. Got the early wake-up call tomorrow on KCRG. 319-366-1600 if you want to follow Chris on the phone line.
I'm with you. Fran will be coaching Iowa next season, but there is something there.
Now, the Alford stuff, there was a lot more there. That was a coach who it was time to get out of town ahead of the posse. The roster that he left behind was not, the cupboard wasn't necessarily bare, but some of the cans were missing their labels. You didn't quite know when the expiration date was on. It would have been food roulette if you wanted to eat out of the particular cupboard. He also had the Pierre Pierce saga, which had fractured the Iowa fan base and its relationship with him. And so that, and by the way, New Mexico opened the checkbook. They paid him a lot of money to go and coach at the Pit. So there were definitely some issues. Fran McCaffrey is extremely well compensated. He and his wife have a tremendous relationship with the University of Iowa Children's Hospital and have raised a ton of money for it. He's got a kid playing baseball at Iowa. He's got two kids that are going to be playing basketball. There's a lot going on here for him to stay in Iowa City. Not a whole lot going on to uproot and leave for Fayetteville, Arkansas, which, as Chris points out, it is a nice area of the country. There is a lot of money there. And Chris probably also knows there's a Kansas City Royals AA affiliate there, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. 319-366-69. Let's squeeze Steve in Cedar Rapids in before we take our first break of the day. Steve, what's up?
Yeah, I'd just like to take on the Fran Arkansas deal today. Last time I checked, Arkansas baseball was a little bit better than Iowa baseball. Could that be a little tie, too?
Well,
Connor going over playing maybe a little Arkansas baseball, too, and he wouldn't have to sit out because of the coaching. Just kind of a little thing to throw out there.
Part of the conspiracy theory for people out there who feel that if that's part of it, that if Connor followed his dad to Arkansas, and your profile would be much higher playing in the SEC than it is in the Big Ten. Well, I mean, yeah, that's how this stuff works. You sort of work your way through all of the possible angles here.
You go through every situation and every theory you could possibly go through, but I just keep coming back to the appreciation level from a growing amount of fans who would not lose any sleep if he were no longer the coach. That's what I keep coming back
to
time and time again.
But it's not the majority of the fan
base. No, it's not. It's not, but if you think about it, you mentioned how crazy this season was. You had two suspensions for the play-by-play voice where most fans thought that he was involved. You had his son getting slings and arrows towards the end of the season for his play. You have another one of his sons coming into the program next year, and then all the talk about the meltdown at the end of the season, typical Fran. It was a trying year despite the way that it ended, and I come back to that every single time.
I do like the fact that Chris Earle very politely said that we were of roughly the same vintage. I am on the bottom shelf, and I have a screw on top. Chris is on a mid-tier eye-level shelf, and he has a cork. The same vintage, but reminds me of that episode of Cheers when Carla tells the customer not to cut their nose when they ask to sniff the cork. 366-1600. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we return, Travis Hines of the Ames Tribune joins us to talk a little Cyclone and Cornhusker basketball. Back with more after this.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinics April 4th in Cedar Rapids or April 11th at their Coralville location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along, and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP Clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro, CarePROHealthServices.com.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary donor wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the donor wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
Spring is finally here, so it's time to refresh your internet service at a great price by switching to IMON. For a limited time, get IMON 80 megabit internet for just $54 a month and lock in this special rate for the next 2 years. We'll throw in a free Wi-Fi router for 3 months, and if you're already in a contract with another provider, we'll even help with your buyout. So switch to IMON's fast, reliable internet service today. It's like the difference between winter and spring. Go to imon.net/radio before April 28th to get this great deal. New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and corporate extension tax filings. They provide tax returns that are audit-proofed with their value-added data match service. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. Community CPA.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes down to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex delivers the look of wood without all of the work and the worry. And it's made from 95% recycled materials, which makes it the right choice for your backyard 100% of the time. Make sure your next deck is built with Trex. Visit Trex.com to order samples.
Welcome back in. It was we get ready to chat with Travis Hines of the Ames Tribune. Before we can do that, we've got to bring you a big board update. It's brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Check out their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's our producer, Kyle Mann.
The Hawkeye fan base has been going bananas since late last night when it's hit by the shrapnel of a report regarding Nevada's Eric Musselman. Mark Chavez of LoboLair.com reported that Arkansas representatives flew to Iowa City to explore McCaffrey as a candidate for the Arkansas head coaching job, as well as Musselman and Minnesota's Richard Pitino. Rob Howe reached out to McCaffrey, who denied any involvement in that job search, but Scott Docterman found flight records that, frankly, 100% fall in line with the report. It should be mentioned McCaffrey himself was at an iClub event in Des Moines during the time frame in question, although that doesn't necessarily mean a meeting, perhaps with his agent, didn't occur. Iowa scored a late run yesterday to beat Clark University 3-2 and is now on a season-best five-game winning streak. Chris Whalen came through with the go-ahead RBI on a sac fly in the eighth inning, and the Hawkeyes had another quick turnaround for another rescheduled game time. They're hosting Northern Illinois right now rather than at 6 o'clock to beat the rain, and Iowa currently leads 1-0 in the second inning. Megan Gustafson's season and career is over, but we're not done hearing her name just yet. She was named a first-team All-American by the Writers Association today, and that's her second first-team distinction already, and there are more teams and Player of the Years to come in the coming week. Tonight after the show, we don't have any basketball or baseball, so we're just passing it off to ESPN programming.
All right, Iowa State and Drake canceled in softball today. Iowa taking on UNI, so a little bit of an in-state battle going on the softball diamonds. Iowa baseball in action, and this is an excuse for us to continue calling the Hogs. Last night it was Steve Alford related, and today
doesn't
now
like calling the Hogs.
Today now Fran McCaffrey. There's a lot of speculation that Eric Musselman is the leader in the clubhouse, and if that's the case,
as well he should be.
I don't know what the angle is here for Arkansas, unless somebody's doing somebody else a favor. And I looked, and I don't see, at least on paper, any ties between the Arkansas athletic director and Fran McCaffrey. But as Chris Earle mentioned, search firm. Use a search firm. Normally, a lot of this stuff never sees the light of day when there's something to it. When there's not, when again, this all goes back to, do you want information to come out? This information is out there, and it's not as if there was an effort to keep it hidden. You didn't fly into Davenport and land in Mount Joy and get a rental car and drive. I mean, the flight tracker stuff it's as plain as day.
They didn't even land at CID. They landed in Iowa City.
Well, which would make sense for a small executive aircraft.
That's true. But
the point of those airports. But
I'm guessing again, they're flying on at least a decent-sized jet.
No, those things are small. Not that I would know. I'm not a lottery winner or anything like that. The Fred Hoiberg jet wasn't necessarily huge. Perfect transition. Travis Hines joining us from the Ames Tribune. We're going to talk a number of things Iowa State related with Travis. But first, Travis, I'd be remiss if I did not ask you, what was your reaction to seeing Fred Hoiberg with that Nebraska logo on for the first time yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely strange. You know, I think, you know, to hear Fred Hoiberg say a lot of the same things that he said while at Iowa State, while in Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, was definitely a little disorienting, I would say. And I would imagine for Iowa State fans, it was even stranger, because it was strange for me, and I don't really have a dog in the fight. But it was a different kind of deal. I don't, you know, but I think it's a job that makes sense for Fred, and that it's going to pay well. That it's a place that he feels comfortable, and I think it's a place that is clearly making a commitment to winning and spending in college basketball. And after what he went through in Chicago with the level of losing, I'm imagining he is very excited to get back on the winning side of the ledger more often than not.
How differing have the reactions been from the Iowa State fan base to this news?
You know, I think there's been a lot of people that are conflicted about it, because, you know, they've spent, you know, honestly 35 years cheering Fred Hoiberg from his time at Ames High School all the way on through being with the Bulls. And then to see him go to a place that, you know, while now is not really a rival and that it's in a different conference than Iowa State, was a long time kind of nemesis across the border there with a dominant football program. You know, that I think Iowa State won at Memorial Stadium 5 times in 90 years. You know, it's just a place that, you know, was a major rival for Iowa State. To see him go there, I think, is strange. There's certainly a segment of the fan base that's angry. But I think the bigger segment is more conflicted about how to feel and will ultimately cheer for Fred Hoiberg, because Fred Hoiberg brought a lot to Iowa State, both as a player and a coach. But, you know, I don't, you know, I think it's natural for them to be a little conflicted from the get-go. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how things go, if they ever match up in an NCAA tournament, or, you know, the first time they go head-to-head for a recruit. You know, that's probably where the rubber meets the road. But I think for now that this will probably go dormant a little bit, because, you know, maybe until they come to Iowa City, and then Iowa fan or Iowa State fans and Nebraska fans can join forces to cheer against the Hawkeyes. But I think this will go quiet here for the next few months, and that'll probably, you know, let people cool off and kind of realize that, you know, Fred Hoiberg is a guy that wants to coach, and this was a job that was open. So, you know, what are you going to do, begrudge him for taking another job when yours is full and you've got a coach that's winning?
Travis Hines with us from the Ames Tribune. Speaking of that coach who is winning, Steve Prohm, he's had some roster turnover in the last week or so, to put it mildly. Your thoughts on some of the post-NCAA tournament developments in Ames?
Yeah, I mean, Iowa State's kind of in a tough spot, and I don't think anybody's particularly surprised to see Cameron Lard move on. You know, he was suspended 3 times in 2 years, and I think it makes sense for him to go look for a fresh start. But you are losing a really talented five-man, and Iowa State likes who they have in the front court, and Solomon Young, Michael Jacobson, and George Condit. But none of those guys really had, in my opinion, the skill set of Cameron Lard. You know, maybe George Condit has a ceiling of Cameron Lard, but that remains to be seen. But it's really the Talen Horton-Tucker, Lindell Wigginton decisions that kind of put them in a bind for almost 2 months, because they've got until the end of May to make their stay or go decisions. And Iowa State, you know, they're kind of stuck in what they do. Do they go out and recruit guys for those spots? Well, they can't really offer them scholarships, because if Talen Horton-Tucker and Lindell Wigginton come back, like, obviously they're not going to tell them to get lost. They got to let them come back. And then what do you do with the guys that you are recruiting? You know, the guys that you're recruiting, are they waiting? Are they willing to wait around until June for you to make a decision on them? It's a tough spot. You know, it's a reason why coaches get paid multi-millions of dollars a year to kind of navigate these difficult decisions and, you know, circumstances. But, you know, and I think it's unquestionably good for the athletes to have this opportunity to pursue pro careers. But you know, I don't think you can argue that it doesn't make a coach's job in life a lot more complicated from really May or from March, you know, from the end of their season until the 1st of June.
Yeah, does the new rule where a player who is invited to the NBA draft combine who doesn't get drafted and could possibly return to school, does that new rule add even more angst? Because that adds more time that you are kind of up in limbo if you're a head coach?
Yeah, so according to Iowa State compliance, that rule was passed by the NCAA only if the NBA ratified it through the Players Association. And you know, my understanding through compliance is that that didn't happen. So guys,
okay,
the May 29th day is kind of the drop dead date, that they can't go beyond that and still come to school. Now they can still now even hire agents to help them navigate this process. But once you get to, you know, May 30th, if you're still in the draft, then your college eligibility is over.
What do you think of the job that Jamie Pollard has done to take care of and keep both Bill Fennelly and Steve Prohm as happy as he can?
Yeah, I mean, to keep both of those guys happy, you know, they're obviously won a lot of games at Iowa State. That's what you do as an AD, and Jamie's done that. I know him and Steve are very close. I think, you know, the relationship that those two have is a big reason why Steve Prohm has not really even entertained looking at other jobs. You know, I sat down with Steve for about 45 minutes today, and, you know, we talked about, you know, when a job like LSU opens, or when a job like Alabama, your alma mater, opens, it makes sense to, you know, your peers in the profession, to fans, to media, to anybody that pays attention to this stuff, that those would be jobs that you might at least be intrigued by. And, you know, in the case of Alabama, I actively pursue, that would make sense. You know, why haven't you done that? And he spoke a lot about how his relationship with Jamie Pollard is a reason why, especially this year, you know, when they went through what they went through the last 3 weeks of the season, that he was able to lean on Pollard. You know, and then on the Fennelly side, you know, obviously he's had a lot of success now for going on 2 decades
And to keep, Bill happy and, pointed, that program continues to be pointed in the right direction to keep him, for as long as he wants to stay is a big deal.
Let's move on to football for just a second. The spring practice underway in Ames. What are some of the rumblings coming out of the football complex, although we will not see a spring game for either Iowa or Iowa State this year?
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet. I think the biggest talker is, what is that running back room going to look like? Breece Hall is on campus. Urriel Brock will be there this summer. How do they get by in that position without David Montgomery, with him leaving pro early? I think it's going to be, I think those freshmen are going to get a big opportunity. And then you still got guys like Johnny Lang, Kane Nwangu, and Sheldon Crony that have been there for a couple of years. But, I don't know that they have the ceiling. Obviously they don't have the ceiling of a David Montgomery, who is one of the best running backs to ever play at Iowa State in his 3 years there. But that, to me, is probably the number one thing. And then the second thing, which we probably won't get a lot of clarity on really until August or even maybe even September, is that offensive line. How far can they come? Because I think that's been the area that you can look at in Matt Campbell's 3 years that hasn't come along probably with the rest of the roster. But now that they've been there for 3 years, they've got returning starters across that offensive line. Can that take a big jump and go from, where you're struggling to get to even to being a plus for your football team?
How is Breece Hall fitting in his first taste of campus life?
Yeah, I think, we haven't been able to talk to him because freshmen are off limits at Iowa State like they are at Iowa. But it sounds like, he's getting rave reviews right now and is going to be in the mix to get carries. There's not anybody, I think, that is the front runner right now of the returners. I think that they're wide open to, letting the best player, regardless of class, get carries. We saw that with David Montgomery, who overtook Mike Warren in Campbell's first year here after Warren was I think he had 1,400 yards as a freshman. And so this staff is open to letting freshmen, earn jobs and earn big, important jobs and big responsibilities. So we'll see, in the fall if Hall can do that, but he'll certainly be given the opportunity.
Travis, always appreciate you taking the time in this part of the state to join us to talk a little Cyclones. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, keep up the good work with the flight tracker.
God love it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Got to love the coaching carousel season. Always fun.
Travis Hines of the Ames Tribune joining us, and there's nothing you can do except laugh at this point because it is silly season where some of the stuff out there, there's basis to it, and some of the stuff out there is just total misdirection. And somebody wants to get something out of this virtual game of footsie. And
yes.
If it's as simple as sending a message to the Iowa fan base that, hey, you may not like me, but other places do, that's a move that could backfire if that's the. And again, I've approached this from probably 10 different angles, and I can't find a single one that makes a ton of sense. And yet, there's a lot of stuff out there that points to there being smoke and fire here. Now, not a raging inferno, but maybe just a little tiny, somebody flicked their cigarette out the window into the ditch, and it hasn't rained in a while, and there's just a little bit of a brush fire going on, something that you can easily put out with a can of water. But again, a lot going on, and I don't know. What to make of all of it.
Let me ask you this, Todd. How many times have we talked about outside noise with that basketball program?
I was going to say, which basketball program?
With the Iowa basketball program.
Talked about it, too. Well, the Twitter silence is a Bohannon's tweeting about stealing a rug. So now that the season is over...
I'm just connecting dots and going off of trends, and this has been a discussion many times with that basketball program, not just with the players.
We need to take a quick time out. When we come back, a little baseball news for you today, a little unexpected baseball. As far as baseball news goes, this is Fran McCaffrey to Arkansas-level baseball news, in my opinion. Back with more after this.
The Colonels are back, and it's time to party at the park. Opening night for your Cedar Rapids Colonels is Thursday, April 4th. Join us for opening night at Colonels Baseball and enjoy fresh popcorn, jumbo hot dogs, and ice-cold beverages. Remember to grab your 2019 magnet schedule at the game and mark down all the great promotions for the upcoming season. Be there when the Colonels take the field on Thursday, April 4th. Get your tickets now by visiting Colonels.com for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their five PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production. And it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
100 years of hard work can take you far, and no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
Your shot at winning a $30 gift card to Mulligan's coming up inside the 6 o'clock hour. It's the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Mulligan's, located at 1060 Old Marion Road. Take the 42nd Street exit off 380 and head east until it tees out with Old Marion Road. Left-hand turn, you'll see Mulligan's not too far away on the left-hand side. Happy hour every day at Mulligan's. From 3 until 6 o'clock. Lots more to get to on the program today, including a conversation in the 5 o'clock hour with Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago. There is baseball news to get to today out of the city of Chicago. There's long been speculation about the Cubs locking up some of the young core to long-term extensions. Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, Cubs got the ball rolling recently by agreeing to an extension with Kyle Hendricks. Well, we got extension news today. David Bote. Yes, David Bote. A 5-year contract extension with 2 club options that will pay him $15 million over the next 5 seasons. For those of you unfamiliar with the Cubs, David Bote is not a regular member of the starting lineup. We've now dipped our toe into the giving long-term extensions to non-starters. 2 things at play here, in my opinion. A, if I'm Addison Russell, I'm packing my bags.
See ya.
I think the writing is on the wall here. And 2, if I'm Ian Happ and I'm on the opening night roster of the Iowa Cubs, who kick off the minor league season tomorrow, just like the Cedar Rapids Colonels, maybe I'm looking to go long-term lease instead of short-term lease on one of those downtown condos in Des Moines.
There's some nice condos down there.
By the way, Jesse Rogers, friend of the show, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, reporting that David Bote initiated the conversation with Theo Epstein, not the other way around. At least we know who initiated this conversation, and at least this one is on the record, and both parties are saying, yeah, it happened. We'll never know. Arkansas isn't going to come out after the fact if they hire Eric Musselman or somebody else. Arkansas isn't going to. You never have an athletic director come out and say, well, yeah, we got our third choice. Here he is. Oh, by the way, here's the long list of people that we contacted.
Steve Alford.
And Fran McCaffrey and his camp will deny, as they should. But it doesn't mean just because a coach denies something that something didn't take place. And I know that it's sort of unseemly to say that and semi-reckless, but I also think it makes a lot of common sense. I mean, I think most people in this day and age are skeptical enough that when somebody tells you something, you don't automatically accept it as a fact, and that there would be reasons for not wanting to come out and admit to this. But it doesn't mean something didn't happen somewhere along the way. And every, you know, Iowa's doing its job by protecting its head coach or following the direction of the head coach or whatever way this is playing out. But if this is a subtle message from Fran McCaffrey to the Iowa fan base or Fran McCaffrey to Gary Barta, hey, that two-game suspension and this Dolphin stuff, yeah, you're lucky to have me, and you may or may not realize it because there are other schools out here who would gladly employ me. Maybe that's the case, maybe it's not, but if you can get somebody to play along with you, well, message sent, message received, right? We've got not only the 6 o'clock showdown coming up, but we mentioned Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago, and Colonels manager Brian Dinkelman joining us in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to step aside. When we return, we'll let you know what's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll let you know what Kyle will feature on his big board update, which you are about 30 minutes away from hearing. Back with more after this.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who have never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, ever floated across the ground on comfort pods or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you. Skechers. Live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
This is the sound of ordering the new DQ Chicken and Waffles basket.
That's two chicken and waffles baskets.
But this is the sound of the drive there.
Chicken and waffles gonna eat it up. Dip my chicken fried waffles in the syrup.
Cup. Oh yeah, chicken and waffles gonna eat it up.
Dip my chicken fried waffles in the syrup cup.
Chicken and waffles.
The new DQ Chicken and Waffles basket with 4 crispy strips, sweet Belgian waffles, fries, and syrup. Yeah, that sounds like DQ.
DQ, happy tastes good. When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those 3-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free, no credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Welcome back in, 4:57, as we put the wraps on hour number one of the program. I do want to let everybody know that coming up tomorrow, we, and I say we, KGYM, will be at the Leaderboard in North Liberty, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, making its return to Johnson County, the Leaderboard, North Liberty's newest bar, very cool, indoor golf bays, classic arcade games, pool tables, plenty of room, great bar, great drink selection. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com will be sitting in for me tomorrow and Friday. So Rob will be joining Alex in North Liberty at the leaderboard. Thank you to the folks here at the station who are allowing me to take a couple personal days to take care of my son, who is at home and under the weather. And Colonel's baseball season is starting up tomorrow. It's a very difficult time in my household to have a child who can't go to daycare, but luckily I am employed by a company that values its employees and wants to keep them happy and values families, and I'm very lucky to work here, and I hope that I continue to work here. And again, thank you to everybody for being flexible in my absence, but the leaderboard should be a lot of fun tomorrow. You guys should come hang out with Rob and Alex, and I'm sure Rob will have more to weigh in on the Fran McCaffrey situation, which I'm usually when this stuff comes to light, the coaching search is about over or it's moving pretty fast. And again, my speculation here is that Eric Musselman of Nevada is the guy who would make the most sense among Richard Pitino, Fran McCaffrey, and Musselman. But it's just, it's led to a very, very interesting day here in Eastern Iowa. And it's April 3rd. If all of this would have bubbled to the surface on Monday, I don't know how we would have handled it. Because then it would have truly reeked of an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
But we will hear from Rob again tomorrow. Brian Dinkelman coming up on the program at 6:02 as well. The Colonels beginning the Midwest League season tomorrow at home. 6:35 first pitch at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, what's going on with Fran McCaffrey? Kyle will have the latest on a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. We will kick off the 5 o'clock hour with Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago, talking baseball, Bears, and more with Chris when we return after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Murray State guard Ja Morant will declare for the NBA draft. Morant led the Racers with 24 points and 10 assists a game this season. Buzz Williams is the new head coach at Texas A&M. He's been the coach at Virginia Tech for the last 5 years, ending with a loss to Duke in the Sweet 16 last week. The Final Four tips off Saturday night in Minneapolis. The first game will feature the only remaining number one seed, Virginia, against the lowest seed still in the tournament, fifth seed Auburn. Tigers coach Bruce Pearl says his players had lofty goals this season.
Coaches don't want to raise expectations. We're always trying to lower them, right? And my kids are sitting around going, oh, yeah, we're going to do better next year. And so they backed it up.
Bruce Pearl on Golic and Wingo. The second semifinal will be Michigan State and Texas Tech. Kelly Stafford, the wife of Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, has a brain tumor. She made the announcement on her Instagram account. Kelly Stafford will have brain surgery.
Coming up Thursday, an unlikely playoff matchup in the NBA's Western Conference. And another unlikely matchup? You at the NFL Draft. But we are making it happen, folks. Another chance for you to win VIP access only on Golic and Wingo Thursday. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Welcome to... You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
5:02, welcome back in a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, as well as great local programming like this show and the Gym Class. You can also catch us on 106.3 FM in Iowa City and 107.5 FM, the North Gym, here in Cedar Rapids, online at kgymradio.com. We'll have the podcast of tonight's show up shortly after we're off the air, a little bit before 7 o'clock. Still to come, Colonels manager Brian Dinkelman is with us tonight at 6 o'clock to give us a preview of the 2019 Colonels, who open the season tomorrow against the St. Louis Cardinals Midwest League affiliate, the Peoria Chiefs at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Should be a nice night weather-wise. I know we've got some rain in the forecast tonight. Tomorrow, expected to be clearer and relatively warm, all things considered. We'll continue discussing wild Fran McCaffrey rumors with the Arkansas job as well as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. But right now, Chris Emma, 670 The Score in Chicago, joining us. And what fortuitous luck, Chris, because we had you lined up well before the David Bodie news rocked Chicago. I'm sure the Tribune and the Sun-Times are going to press with special extra editions here, but this is kind of out of left field today that the Cubs announcing an extension for David Bodie.
I thought we were talking Midwest League baseball here. I was all excited. I want to talk about the King County Cougars a little bit, see how the Colonels look as well, you know? I grew up actually in King County, Cougar Country, so I've seen plenty of the Colonels and plenty of Midwest League baseball, but that's another story. Yes, the David Bodie extension caught me by surprise, too. I was not really thinking that one was coming, but they like the guy. They like the consistency that he brings. Solid approach, great professional for a young guy. And he brings that kind of versatility they like, too. I mean, I think they're planning to be without Ben Zobrist after this season. I think it's likely that he retires, if not signing somewhere else. So he can kind of fill that void as that utility guy that, whether it's Joe Maddon or Mark Loretta or whoever the manager is moving forward, you know, that kind of value that the Cubs have really enjoyed to have. So Bodie's a good fit. It's a good story. You know, really nice guy and somebody who's easy to root for. So, yeah, surprising move, but came together well.
Now, Chris, let's talk about the 1-3 start. Of course, it's early. It's a long season. But how concerning is it for the fans on the north side that all of the concerns that they had in the offseason about this team have sort of been realized in the first four games?
Yeah, you know, we heard the word urgency a lot, referring to the idea of getting off to a hot start, approaching these games a little bit differently. But the urgency to which Theo Epstein referred at the end of last season was really speaking to the idea of 162 games, more than, you know, four games to start a season. These are two different issues. The problem is that this team just committed six errors a few nights ago. The starting pitching's been rough. The relief pitching's been the worst in the league so far, statistically speaking. And the bats were good up until getting shut out a couple nights ago. So a lot of issues really being exploited right now. And the bigger picture concern with this team is that some of the biggest concerns entering this year were the bullpen. The bullpen probably number one, foremost concern, but also consistency of this rotation. And it's all looked pretty bad so far. It's four games. You know, you always got to temper with that. 1-3 equals four, so you still have 158 more of these to go. But what you've seen so far of this team is really not encouraging by any means. It's stuff in the micro that could mean bigger ramifications in the macro. And we saw that this team this last year, and especially so this year with such a strong division, has little margin for error. It's really something kind of astonishing, given how talented this Cubs team is. But they can't mess around. They got to start winning these games right away. And a hot start would have been nice, but I think that one's already out the door.
I think the thing that concerns a lot of Cubs fans here is the cavalry is not on the way. I know that's a phrase that's been used in previous seasons by Theo Epstein, but there's not a player right now in the minor leagues, outside of maybe Nico Horner, who's starting the year at AA, but especially from a pitching standpoint, what you see is what you get with this team.
Yeah, and on paper, you should feel good about it just as a basket of the baseball card. I mean, you're talking about John Lester, Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendricks, Jose Quintana, and then, of course, Cole Hamels. I mean, it really sounds great when you put it out on paper and say this is your 1-5. But the depth is concerning. I mean, Mike Montgomery's been fine swingman, but, you know, you're not too far away from pitching Tyler Chatwood in some games, and there's not much that goes beyond it. So you're really relying on the starting five to be, you know, what you expect, baseline what you expect. I mean, for John Lester to be an ace, for Yu Darvish to be the guy that you're paying for five more years, for Cole Hamels to bring some consistency, same with Jose Quintana, and for Kyle Hendricks now fresh off his new deal to really be you know, the Kyle Hendricks that we've come to know. And if you're not going to get that, then what are you doing? I mean, what's this team going to accomplish? This team is nothing without the starting five that it has in place. And you're right, there's not a lot in the pipeline right now. this team is set as presently constructed. And few have seen Joe Maddon have a lot of confidence in this group, but, you know, it's easy to put that all into question so far.
What was the amount of panic after the Yu Darvish seven-walk performance the other night?
You know, it's a good question. It's something that I think maybe if you just chalk it up to the emotions of the whole thing, being back in Texas that first start. We had Tommy Hanavy, the Cubs pitching coach, on our station today, and he said that he saw a guy who was totally amped up, not himself in that regard. But the bigger concerns is that his fastball velocity was down, and he couldn't locate that. That's baseline stuff for any starting pitcher, but especially you, Darvish. You have to locate that fastball, and for him, it's got to be popping at 94 or 95. It was popping at 92 or 93 and outside the zone, and that's where he got into trouble. Seven walks is horrible. He did it in 2 2/3 innings. Just a disastrous day for you, Darvish. And maybe Hanavy's right in that it was too much emotion. He was too excited to be facing some friends and former teammates. He was excited to be back in Texas and just be on the mound in general. At least he threw a good bullpen. He kind of got things back on track. But I'm going to be fascinated to see how he comes back out tomorrow when the Cubs take the field up in Milwaukee. You know, a big series already in April. You want to kind of establish yourself against the team that just stole the division crown a year ago. So in a perfect world for the Cubs, they'd love to see you, Darvish, get on the bump, pitch six or seven strong innings, and lead the team to a win.
Chris, Emma of 670, The Score in Chicago, joining us as we begin the segment chatting baseball. I know you were in Kansas City for the White Sox opener against the Royals. 2-3 on the season, but a big win today. Carlos Rodon with a nice 9-strikeout start. Eloy Jimenez is on the scene. And Yoan Moncada looks like a completely different player this year. Is there reason for optimism if you're a White Sox fan right now?
Oh, yeah. Especially a game like this where you're going up against Corey Kluber, one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball, and your lineup gets some good swings on him and puts up an early lead. Your young ace right now when Carlos Rodon goes out and shuts the door. The thing I really liked about it, and I'll talk more about Moncada too, but with Rodon, that horrible error by Yolmer Sanchez in the sixth inning sets up the Indians for a chance to rally back, get some runs. And what happened last Thursday in Kansas City, Rodon getting bounced because of errors in his own defense and failing to go deeper into the game. That was different today. You saw Rodon pitch out of it. Show the kind of stuff and the maturity of a young guy who's only 26 years old, but still really establishing himself within this league. He's got all the tools. He's got all the potential in place. It's just a matter of how deep can he go in these games and what he can do to learn through these big moments. He faced a big moment today in Cleveland and got through it. And that was the biggest takeaway for me. It was the way that Rodon handled himself in that sixth inning. But he got that lead because of Yoan Moncada, as you mentioned, and some of these young bats. Eloy Jimenez with a few more hits. It's great to see. It's a lot of promise really on display for this organization. And we talked about the Cubs' pipeline kind of being dry in terms of the minor leagues. The Sox have a major pipeline rolling right now with more young pieces coming. But right now you're focusing on Moncada. You're focusing on Jimenez. Obviously, Tim Anderson, when he gets back from paternity leave for Friday. The rotational side, I mean, Ronaldo Lopez, Carlos Rodon, Luis Giolito with a strong performance Sunday. There's so much to be excited about in terms of potential. If this organization can come through with a strong 2019, whether that's 85 wins, 75 wins, even 65 wins, but with these young players showing out what they can do, you feel really good moving forward.
Well, let's continue on the Yoan Moncada talk, because last year, 217 strikeouts, and I know there are a lot of people wondering, okay, is this guy going to come around? We heard about his offseason and what he had done to change things up a little bit. What is the level of excitement, or is there still some cautious optimism with the start that he's gotten off to?
I try to temper it to an extent, just knowing that it is still early in the season. But the issue with Moncada last year and early in his career was never a matter of potential. You could see him hit the cover off the ball or squirreling up to an alley and take three bases out of it. There's no doubt this guy's got an unbelievable talent to him, but it was about consistency and growth for him. And you're seeing that now. It's a different Yoan Moncada here. You get the sense of being around him. It's a different, more confident player. And even you can even see it watching the game. This way he's attacking balls at third base and more comfortable there at the hot corner. Or the way that he's starting to cover the plate a little bit, it worked past to his favor. 217 strikeouts was unacceptable. It was disappointing for him last year. I think that's going to be an anomaly, though. He's going to still strike out, don't get me wrong, but it's nice to see that he's really sort of adjusted to major league pitching here. And you're seeing a guy who's really maturing before our eyes. That's at the plate and in the field. It's growth from this kid. And with that leads to that kind of consistency that you're seeking, putting all the talent that he has into 162 regular season games, and you get to see what this kid can really become. I think it's going to be a breakout season for Yoan Moncada, and we're seeing the early signs of it right now.
Like I said, you were in Kansas City for Eloy Jimenez's debut, certainly a unprecedented deal that the White Sox struck with him to bring him up to the big leagues, that extension before ever playing a game in the major leagues. Did you get the sense that you were witnessing something special at Kauffman Stadium when he stepped into the batter's box for the first time?
Yeah, I also could sense too good of a strikeout coming. He talked to him before the game, and he said that he noted the emotions, the excitement was there. He wasn't really himself in that at-bat, but what really struck me, I was back at the game Saturday, different perspective from watching from the outfield, but the way that he approached those at-bats, a different game. You know, the second game in the major leagues, your heartbeat beating a little bit better, you're kind of back to normal. And he was facing all breaking balls from Jacob Junis that day, and he eventually went to the Royals bullpen. He was ready for that. He was adjusting with it. And the thing that really struck out with me, that first major league hit for him was a breaking ball low and away that he took opposite field, right center, beat the shift with that, with the Royals aligned to the left side. And that's a young hitter showing how good he can be. And the way that he – we talked about Moncada covering the plate. Eloy's a step ahead of him already in terms of that plate coverage and really going the other way with it. I don't know why the Royals were shifting on this kid, because we've seen that he can take the ball to right center. I think we saw a little bit of it today, in fact. I mean, this guy can really cover the plate. It has a maturity to his game, you know, in terms of his hitting tools that you don't really see from a guy that young. I think Moncada's going to have a big year. I think Eloy's going to have a big year as well. It's just the way that he approaches the game and the maturity that's in such a young player is really something special. It was exciting to see him debut just because you could sense it's a movement for the White Sox. So these young players keep coming up. You know, there's not been really much in terms of spectacular for these debuts, but it's all about what Eloy Jimenez can do this 2019 season. And the White Sox gave him that long-term deal, confident in the major league readiness in this kid. Now we get to see it.
What about in the pitching rotation? Because I know that Lucas Giolito last year was a guy who just got crushed in the first half and made some adjustments in the second half. His first start, 6 2/3 innings, he struck out 8. Is there hope that he can have a bounce-back season?
Yeah, I talked to Rick Hahn last week, and I asked him maybe a slightly loaded question about Carlos Rodon and Reynaldo Lopez. He goes, well, don't forget Lucas Giolito. And I did forget Lucas Giolito because
– I did too.
I know it's a +6 ERA. You're not thinking about this kid in the same sentence as Lopez or Rodon, who are, you know, clearly further ahead of him. Rick Hahn and the White Sox feel really strongly about the way that his development track is – you know, it's not always going to be linear for him, but they saw the adjustments being made and were really excited to give him another chance this year. He made some tweaks in the mechanics. You could see the rhythm. When you watch that start Sunday, he was just getting the ball and going. Lucas Giolito is one of those athletes who's probably smarter than he should be. A really deep thinker, a really thoughtful guy. And that's sometimes the worst thing for a major league pitcher. You get to live in your own head a little bit, and you kind of occupy too much of space in your own brain. You can see when he's in that rhythm that he's slowing things down, he's approaching the mound the right way, and he's in control. We haven't seen that in the past with Lucas Giolito, and it's a little bit different now. The rhythm said everything to me in that he's not in his own head. He's not overthinking about location of pitches or, you know, putting things in the right spot. And the things that really kind of break down your mechanics. You can also see in the past that his mechanics have just come out of whack and unhinged so easily. And it's not anymore. It's just calmer for him. It's more methodical. Those are really strong steps. And it's one start in the regular season so far. Granted, you got to see what the full sample size is of this 2019 season. But I think Giolito's really on the right track in terms of fixing what went wrong for him last year and turning it right.
Chris Emma, the jack-of-all-trades reporter at 670 The Score in Chicago. What's the latest going on at Halas Hall as the Bears ready for the draft?
Well, they got a long snapper now, Patrick Scales. We're signing into a one-year deal. You got the punter in place and Pat O'Donnell, and now you're wondering who the heck's going to be kicking for this team. It's been one of the most unique Bears off-seasons I can ever remember, because you know, and for years you're thinking, who's going to be the big splash? What are they going to do? How are they going to improve this team? And now here they are, coming off 12-4, worst to first turnaround. So much went right last year, and you don't really need to do much with this season. And yet you're still wondering about this kicker being the biggest question. So it's both a blessing and a curse. I mean, they put themselves in this position where, you know, this position, the kicker was obviously a bigger need than they really ever would have wanted it to be. But this team's in a pretty good spot here. No pick in the draft until pick number 87 in the third round. The running back situation's unique. It's been a long time coming, this deal with Jordan Howard. And from the way I understand it, he was told about a month ago that he was just not going to be back and they were going to try to trade him. There was an option where they would have potentially released him as well, but they're going to be looking to address running back in the draft. I don't know if they're going to be picking at 87 with that guy. I think they might try to move up. Keep an eye on Miles Sanders out of Penn State, a kid who really kind of adds the elements that they want to their offense. And the Bears have met with him a couple times. They've had their eyes on him. They really like his game. It's just a matter of kind of pulling him in. They're probably going to have to trade a 2020 slot with pick 87 to go up and get him. But they really want to fill that running back void for the long term after trading Jordan Howard, and they're positioned to do it here.
You kind of lead me right to my next question. With this team and not picking till the third round and all of these running backs who aren't necessarily that top 10 type talent, but maybe second, third round, would you be almost surprised if the first selection by the Bears was not a running back?
Probably, yeah. I mean, there's a couple other needs. I think they're going to draft a tight end. I think they'd like to get another outside linebacker, et cetera, et cetera. Probably a safety as well. But, yeah, they've been looking really strongly at this running back market. From the NFL Combine on, they've met with a ton of running back prospects there. They've had a bunch more. They had about, I think it's four or five at Hallis Hall 2 weeks ago, coming in for workouts and visits. They've been all over the pro day circuit. This has all been obvious, and that's part of the reason why the Bears were not able to get a major return back for Jordan Howard, because the whole league knew they were looking at running backs. The writing's been on the wall, and it was obvious enough where they had to tell Jordan Howard, you're not coming back. There was no secrets involved with this here, and now it's about executing this plan in the draft. They signed Mike Davis, the veteran, the first day of free agency, kind of as a buffer for that rookie running back coming in. Also, somebody to take some pressure off Tariq Cohen, and a guy who fits that offense better. They don't want to overuse Cohen as good as he is. And Matt Nagy said that repeatedly, is that they do not want to run this guy into the ground or take away the usage that you have that makes him special. So you got your, you know, 2-3 punch there, if you will, but now you want to find that number one guy here. I think it will be in their first pick of the draft. I don't think it's going to be 87. I think they're going to be using a 2020 asset to try to trade up in 2019's draft and try to get that running back back.
Before we part ways, Chris, the Blackhawks officially eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoff contention last night. How do you put into words what we witnessed with this team this year? Great seasons from Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, but ultimately nothing to show for it.
It's interesting. If you would have told me back when they fired Joe Klenzo in November that this season would, I'd be calling the season a success, I'd say there's no way. There's no way that's possible. But you look at the season from that point, probably December on, really, because they really struggled a lot in November. This team really gained its footing here, and more importantly, this organization gained its footing. The disappointing part is that you wasted terrific years from Patrick Kane, a turnaround from Jonathan Toews, another year in the prime with Duncan Keith. But what was encouraging was the way that this young core emerged and really proved to probably Stan Bowman as much as anybody else that this team can come back as a contender and a championship-level team perhaps in the next few years. The Blackhawks did not have these kind of young pieces here emerging here, even just a year ago. You know, Alistair Brinkhead looked promising, but Dylan Strome looks like he's going to be a terrific young player. Dominic Calhoun's been a decent player as well. You got some more coming up the pipeline as well. Some of these young defensemen that they've drafted, they really added some, an infusion of youth back into this organization and kind of replenish what they had to part ways with to win a championship in 15 and, to make the runs they have in past years. This organization is in a much better place than it was even just a few months ago. And, it's disappointing when you put it all in the context of this team's not going to the playoffs for a second straight year. But you feel really good about where they can go here moving forward.
Chris Emma, 670 The Score in Chicago. Always a pleasure to have you with us. Exciting times at The Score. Happy to see Lawrence getting his shot from noon to 2 there, and we'll touch base with you down the road.
Take care. Have a good one.
Chris, you can give him a follow on Twitter for all things Chicago sports related. Touched on a lot of ground there and gave the White Sox some love because I think they deserve it after watching Yoan Moncada and the Sox club Corey Kluber and the Indians today. Something just doesn't seem right with Kluber right now.
That's sort of a scary sign for the Cleveland Indians, and there's another former Cleveland Indians pitcher who maybe is coming out of the bullpen who might be with a National League Central team who I've been saying the same thing about, but I'm not going to get off on that tangent.
Andrew Miller not looking like the Andrew. Look, Andrew Miller gave up that home run to David Ross in the World Series in 2016, and everybody is like, okay, Grandpa Rossi just hit this elite left-handed reliever. He's not invincible out there, and that was 2016. So
he was used a lot in that postseason.
It's amazing how these pitchers that get used heavily going into the postseason just aren't quite the same afterwards, right?
Yes, very
but
amazing.
But you didn't want to get off on
I didn't want to get off
you
on
didn't
that
want
tangent.
To get off the rant, so I'm not going to lead you down.
Yoan Moncada.
He looks different. I know Chris tweeted that earlier today, and the ball that he hit today, he just absolutely obliterated a ball for a home run against Kluber. When he's got everything figured out at the plate and you get Jimenez comfortable in there and they've still got Jose Abreu in the lineup and they've got a guy like Tim Anderson and some other quality players in that regular starting lineup, and the pitching comes along, and I know they were planning on having Michael Kopech there this year, and that's not going to work out for them. And now Dane Dunning, another one of their pitching prospects, is out for the year after undergoing Tommy John surgery. But it's an exciting time to be a baseball fan on the south side of Chicago. And on the north side of Chicago, you got tremendous value in David Bodie for the next 5 years, who I do think has a role on that team. It's just fascinating to see a franchise barely do anything in the offseason, cry poverty, scratch up some pennies to sign a guy who's not a member of the starting lineup. I know Kyle Hendricks got his extension. And Joe Maddon is asked about, hey, what about an extension? You know, Terry Francona gets a 2-year extension with Cleveland. What about an extension for you? Joe Maddon makes a comment about, Theo's got to take care of the guys in the lineup. And there's a little bit of reading between the lines there that maybe there's some ongoing tensions between Joe Maddon and the front office, with this being essentially a lame duck year for him. David Bodie, 5-year, $15 million extension.
Can somebody check the flight tracker at O'Hare, please?
No Javier Baez extension yet, no Chris Bryant extension yet, but you've got Kyle Hendricks and David Bodie locked up, and Carl Edwards Jr. with the illegal delivery, and Pedro Strop, who's been fantastic as a reliever since joining the Cubs, but has been a little rocky this year, along with pretty much every pitcher on that team not named John Lester. Here we sit, 4 games into the season, going into Game 5 tonight against Atlanta. It's way too early to throw in the towel just yet, but this team's got some issues. 526, we've all got some issues. We'll take a quick timeout, and when we return, maybe you've heard Fran McCaffrey. His name is in the news. If you haven't, we'll tell you why after this.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary donor wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the donor wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more, in an array of colors and finishes. Come see this new affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
Welcome back in the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, with you till 7 o'clock tonight on 1600 AM as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM. A reminder coming up tomorrow, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, returning triumphantly to Johnson County. North Liberty is the stop, the leaderboard. Very, very excited to have the KGYM crew back at the leaderboard. Really cool place. I know you and Kyle were there along with Scott and a couple of our coworkers for an NCAA watch party a couple weeks ago. The leaderboard, very easy to find on West Penn. It's been a while since I've lived in North Liberty. I've got to get my streets back in my head. 965 in West Penn, the location for the leaderboard. They've got the indoor golf bays, skee ball, darts, pool, great drink selection. Alex is going to be doing the show with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com tomorrow in North Liberty as I'm out the next 2 days for personal days. If you have not heard, Fran McCaffrey has his name circulating in the news for various reasons today, and here to tell you about that on a Big Board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber is Kyle.
Yeah, the Hawkeye fan base has been going bananas since late last night when it was hit by the shrapnel of a report regarding Nevada's Eric Musselman. Mark Chavez of LoboLair.com reported that Arkansas representatives flew to Iowa City to explore McCaffrey as a candidate for the Arkansas head coaching job, as well as Musselman and Minnesota's Richard Pitino. Rob Howe reached out to McCaffrey, who denied any involvement in that job search, but Scott Docterman found flight records that, frankly, 100% fall in line with the report. It should be mentioned McCaffrey himself was at an iClub event in Des Moines during that time frame in question, although that doesn't necessarily mean a meeting, perhaps with his agent, didn't occur. Iowa scored a late run yesterday to beat Clark University 3-2 and is now on a season-best 5-game winning streak. Chris Whalen came through with the go-ahead RBI on a sac fly in the 8th inning, and the Hawkeyes had another quick turnaround for another rescheduled game time today. They're hosting Northern Illinois right now rather than at 6 o'clock to beat the rain, and Iowa trails 3-2 after 3 innings. Megan Gustafson's season and career is over, but we're not done hearing her name yet. She was named a first-team All-American by the Writers Association today, and that's her second first-team distinction already, and there are more teams and player of the years to come in the coming weeks.
All right. Thank you very much, Kyle. And again, a big thank you to our friends at Alexander Lumber for hopping on board as sponsors for the Big Board. Let's head to the phone lines, 366-1600. It's also the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And we've got a frequent contributor on the text line, 3530, with us on the phone line. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I kind of wanted to make a comment on these parallel moves in college basketball coaching. Like, Todd, I liked your analogy of, you know, getting out of town ahead of the posse, which is obviously a thing that happens quite a bit. Alford, you know, pulled that one off. You know, some football coaches, Lou Holtz was really good about doing that back in the day in football. But at any rate, I don't get some of, like, I understand, you know, if McCaffrey's a little disenchanted or whatever, and I guess anybody can hear an offer. But the one that really has me scratching my head is the Buzz Williams move. And he's done this a couple times before, too, because you could argue that Marquette to Virginia Tech is a bit of a parallel move. I mean, granted, I know the ACC is kind of like the holy grail of college coaching. But if you just look at programs, you know, and plus Marquette being in the Big East, I mean, it's not like the Big East is a slouch of a conference. And then I really don't get, and maybe you guys can, you know, give me your take on it, I don't get going from Vontech to Texas A&M. I don't know. You could maybe even argue that that's stepping down. And, I mean, I certainly don't think he's trying to get out of town ahead of the posse. They had a really successful year and good run in the NCAA tournament. So, I don't know, just kind of was curious to get you guys' take on that.
I appreciate the phone call. That's Buzz Williams, who Kyle's referencing there, leaving for Texas A&M.
Yes.
I don't know much about him. He seems to have a shelf life.
Yeah.
It seems, not necessarily that he's Larry Brown and the nomad wandering from job to job, but he seems to be a guy who his act wears a little thin after 4, 5, 6 years, and he's on to not necessarily greener pastures, but the grass isn't necessarily brown wherever he winds up. You think you hear the name Buzz Williams and go, yeah, good basketball coach. And then you see him do his thing for a little bit, and there's got to be something, there's got to be more to it. But I don't personally know or have interactions with him to know his personality. I just know that in this particular instance, the trend here is a guy who appears to wear out his welcome, not exactly immediately, but after a while, it's just kind of like a mutual parting of the way. Hey, this isn't working anymore. You maybe it's best if you look for a soft landing. And that's what I'm talking about, getting out of town ahead of the posse. And that's, I want to be very clear about this. Iowa is not there with Fran McCaffrey. And I don't think Fran McCaffrey is there with Iowa. He's not looking to get out ahead of the posse. I don't know what the motives here are, but I think Fran McCaffrey will be coaching the Iowa Hawkeyes come November, but I also think that there is something to this. I think a conversation may have occurred, and even if it was just a courtesy call, I don't know who initiated it, but I think that it's very difficult to just say, okay, he says nothing happened here, because in 2019, we got a lot of people saying a lot of things, and you can't just automatically take them at their word for it. You have to, I think, be skeptical and say, okay, well, what would be the motive here to say that nothing's going on here? Well, I think the motive here is he's not interested in that job. They're not interested in him, but he's interested maybe in sending a message or to Gary Barta, and if not Gary Barta, to that segment of the Iowa fan base that thinks it's time. We got people on the text line that said they would help him pack and leave. This is a guy that has taken Iowa to the NCAA tournament 4 of the last 6 seasons. At some point, and somebody else on the text line said, what do you think your program is if you're one of those fans? 366-1600. Let's go to Scott in Marion. He wants to talk about Fran McCaffrey. Scott, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that texted and said I'd give him a ride. I don't know. I feel like I'm in La La Land, guys. I don't know what you guys see that makes you so happy about Fran. I don't have time, and you wouldn't give me the time to enumerate all
the. You got the time, Scott. You got the time. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, name me a player that's come out of his program in the last couple of years that's really been successful in the NBA. Name me a player that he's taken that he's really developed and expanded their game. Brandon Cook is a perfect example of that. He has zero chance. I will bet a steak dinner on this of being successful in the NBA. But he could have been, and he's not going to be because Fran hasn't developed him. Tell me a game that Fran has won that he wasn't expected to in the last or a significant amount of games. He's not that good a coach. He just isn't. And his recruiting has proven that. The players that have left him has proven that. The fact that he has to recruit his own kids has proven that. I will drive him to Arkansas myself. That's where I'm at.
Scott in Marion with a very strong opinion of Fran McCaffrey. Look, I have no dog in this fight. I don't get paid by Iowa. I think I've been very clear about being critical of Fran McCaffrey in the past when I feel he deserves it. I think I've stood up for him in the past when he deserves it. Now, maybe he would feel differently. I know for a fact he's not losing any sleep over what somebody on an ESPN affiliate in Cedar Rapids thinks about him, and nor should he. I think a Division I Big Ten basketball coach should have thicker skin than that. And I think Fran McCaffrey's skin is, for the most part, pretty thick. But the problem is, and again, try to step back and see this here, and then you see maybe there is something to this. This was a very difficult year for Fran McCaffrey. It's never fun to have your own son in uniform on the team because that person wears a giant bullseye on their back. Kirk Ferentz can tell you that. Not only did he go through it three times with his kids playing football, he lives it every day because his son is the offensive coordinator now. You want to talk about wearing a target on your back and having to hear people say some pretty, I won't say nasty, but some people are nasty.
Yeah,
but
there are some nasty things said.
A father can only take so much. And I can tell you right now, he's got that Irish temper where he's not able to step back and say, okay, this is a fan base that's talking passionately about one of its guards. That's a father listening and reading and hearing people say things about somebody that shares his last name and his DNA. And sometimes it's very difficult to separate that. We had Coach Green on from UNI, and we talked with Kyle several months ago about what it's like to coach AJ and how difficult that is sometimes. And for better or worse, Connor McCaffrey took a lot of slings and arrows this year from the fan base. And guess what? Patrick McCaffrey's coming in next year, so it's going to get doubly worse for dad/coach. And on top of all of that, you had two situations with the play-by-play announcer, one of which directly involved criticism of you and your recruiting and your players, which Fran McCaffrey will lay down his life for his players. I think he's been pretty clear about that. And you also have a two-game suspension from your athletic director over a really unfortunate situation in Columbus that I know Fran said he didn't mean for those comments to be heard, but you still have to answer for your issues. I was there at that news conference that day. He wasn't too happy to be sitting there having to apologize for something that he didn't think was necessarily something that he had did wrong. He was upset or disappointed that it was heard by somebody and reported. So if I'm stepping back and I'm looking at this, I'm going, okay, there are a number of things here where maybe I'm not necessarily happy about how things played out this season. And outside of sitting down in the boss's office and having a bull session after the season is over, let's review how are things going, stuff like that. How do I send that message to not the whole fan base, but maybe a portion of the fan base and maybe to certain members of the administration? Hey, I've been here 9 years. I've fought and I scratched and I clawed and I built this program back up and I'm selling your tickets at Carver Hawkeye Arena and I've got better recruits here and we're back in the NCAA tournament. And some people here don't seem to appreciate that. What the hell? Because if you don't appreciate it, maybe Arkansas would, or maybe the next school that opens up would. That's what I think is going on here. And Fran McCaffrey says there's nothing to this, that he didn't meet with anybody. The window of opportunity, I believe, is there if you look at the flight tracker software and things of that nature. And there's something here. I don't think it leads to anything. But I don't think Fran McCaffrey is a very happy guy with the University of Iowa and with some of the University of Iowa's fans today. And I think that's
fair.
Let's go to the phone lines and bring Ben in Cedar Rapids on board. Ben wants to talk about, Fran McCaffrey. Okay, Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller. So you pretty much just hit on exactly what I was going to state. You know, I mean, one of the things that I find, and I've actually been fortunate enough to meet
Coach McCaffrey. I've been to a practice, been able to be behind the bench. And you have Fran, the coach, and then you have Fran, the person. And what I can say that, you know, I didn't get to see, or a lot of us don't get to see, is how genuine of a person he is. And he absolutely cares about his players, and he cares about the program. And what I find funny is, you know, we went from a fan base starving for any type of postseason berth. And we got over the Licklider, and we hired Fran McCaffrey. And what was the motto? To be mad again. To get mad again. Okay.
Very fortuitous, by the way. Yes.
Yeah, totally. And so he brings energy and life back into the program, gets us to an NCAA tournament, now multiple ones. And all we have to do is just complain and complain and complain.
Ben, I appreciate you picking up the phone and giving us a call for the first time. And yeah, it doesn't make any sense. You look, and the poll question today at KGYMradio.com is, what's the better job, Arkansas or Iowa? And I think voting right now is probably split down the middle for the most part. A big thank you to Emil's Hideaway for sponsoring the poll question. But that's an important aspect here, because Fran McCaffrey, the coach, the guy who's paid a lot of money to be the face of the men's basketball program, he's run afoul of some fans with the way that he represents the program sometimes. And I don't want to get into the Tom Izzo stuff and this coach does this and this coach does that. But when you represent the brand, people are going to hold you to a high standard. But Fran McCaffrey, the man, the individual, the guy who makes time for sick kids because he himself had a son who went through cancer. Fran McCaffrey, the guy who takes time for aspiring coaches or for anybody that asks him for time. Fran McCaffrey, the person, I think is a good dude.
He's engaging. He's likable.
I would love
to. Charismatic.
I'd love to sit in the bleachers at Wrigley Field with him for a Cubs-Phillies game and drink some Old Style with him. I don't think you can get Old Style in the bleachers anymore. You got to get it at the one concession stand that the Ricketts family allows it to be sold at. But I'd like to hang out with Fran McCaffrey, the human being, and I think if a lot of Iowa fans did, I think maybe they'd change their opinion on him a little bit. The problem is people don't know that side of Fran McCaffrey, except when you run across a story that may make it to the light of day. What folks see is Fran McCaffrey, the coach. And sometimes that image isn't necessarily the most pleasant. We need to take a quick timeout, but I see we've got Jim, Brandon, and David all holding on the line. Guys, give us just 2 minutes. We'll get to all your phone calls. More on the way after this.
Hi there. I'm here for your basement.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Yeah, what seems to be the problem?
It's my basement. It's bad.
Sure, let's take a look.
No, you don't understand. It's gotten a little out of hand. A pipe leaked in the ceiling and it never quit.
Well, let's assess the damage.
Okay. Hi there.
Who's this?
I told you it was bad.
You two look like you could use ponchos.
The other day it was just a leak, and then this happened.
You know where the shutoff valve is?
Ah, feel that breeze.
I think it's over by that dinghy.
A plumber, are you? Say, I could use a guy like you. Have any experience on boats?
As a matter of fact, I do. My father was a lobster fisherman up in Nova Scotia for many years.
You don't say.
Yeah, I really only took this plumbing gig to earn a little extra scratch, but really.
Not again.
Home in need of repair? Don't drown in debt. Get a loan. Go to Paco. DePaco Community Credit Union. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, who's the greatest of all time? For my money, it's Progressive's home and auto bundle. It literally saves you money. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
Look, it's simple.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Add up all the heroes, take away the zeros, and what you got? One big trophy and me saying, I told you so.
I disagree.
Thanks, fellas. Took the words right out of my mouth.
There's really no debate. Progressive's home and auto bundle is a winning combination. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. HomeAdvisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. HomeAdvisor.
So you want to get into information technology? Great idea. Who's going to get you there? My Computer Career, the only school focused only on getting people into IT careers for over a decade, or some Johnny-come-lately college that's been at it for just a few years? Training to start an IT career is all we do. It's all we've ever done nationwide. You could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
548, welcome back in as the phone lines are lit. I don't want to sound like that news crew in Toledo, Ohio, but I don't think there's any coincidence in the fact that Brent Balbinot lives there, and then a couple years later, they're throwing out some of this. Did you see that video?
I did.
I saw the spinoff
Iowa version as well.
Well, those guys, yeah, it was great. Keith Murphy and the Sound Off crew do a good job in Des Moines. We've got a lot of phone calls to get to, and we've got David and Brandon holding tight. But first, Jim, who's just outside Sigourney right now. So exact geometric location here. Jim, you're up first. What's on your mind?
Actually, I'm just coming into Harper, Iowa now, Todd. different perspective. High school administrator here, and put your son in that situation. And that's not fair, and it's not fair to Fran's sons either, but that's fan. So that's on a different level. But I just had this conversation with the Central Iowa radio station about 2 weeks ago. What has – and I like Fran. I think he's a good coach. I like his fiery approach. He goes overboard, and he made a mistake in Ohio State. But what his – has any ex-player ever come out and said anything bad about him? No. Has any of his players ever gotten in trouble? No. And I'm older than you guys, but if you want to go back to the late 80s or early 80s, this is why Lute Olson left Iowa, because of the scrutiny of the fans.
The fishbowl,
yep. Made the Final Four. We can't do that anymore. And got tired. I think the phrase was the fishbowl. Fishbowl. And Fran's got his warts, but I like him. He's passionate, and when he took over, the cupboard wasn't even bare. There wasn't even a cupboard. I think four NCAA appearances in 9 years, and they got most people coming back. But anybody who wants to take a shot at him and his family, that just tells me a little bit about yourself and where you should end up after life. But I'll hang up, and yes, I'm a passionate Hawk fan, and I'm probably blind, but I'm hope Fran's here for as long as he wants to be. So that's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
Jim, appreciate the phone call. It's the first time we've ever had anybody check in from Harper with us, and we've got more phone calls to get to here. I want to get to them both before we have to take our next break. I think David in Coralville is up next. David, thanks for your patience tonight. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. So you guys, I love listening to you guys talk. I always, on the way home from work, go get the kids, kind of listen to you guys for about 45 minutes or so.
God bless you, David. Bless you.
No, and the funny thing, you're saying, like, you know, you'd love to get an old style with Fran. I think I have with him is I don't have, like the caller earlier said, I've never sat behind the bench with him. I've never gone into a closed door practice. And I just think the thing that people are having a hard time getting over, maybe not myself so much, but maybe sometimes, is this idea that you see Fran lose his mind. And that's fine. It's passion, whatever you want to call it. But our national headlines so often with him are Iowa coach refuses to shake hands after a loss, or Iowa coach calls ref a blinking cheater, you know? And so I think that wears on people. And well, I think maybe it was you guys, maybe it was Alex and Kyle on a day where Todd was sick, but something about how you had talked earlier about this idea that you let those things slide when you're winning, right?
Yeah, I've said that a number of times. People will tolerate any behavior with a winner.
Okay, right. And so my thing is I think this has been the problem with football, basketball, with anything. Like, Iowa fans are so starved for a championship in any what I'll call a major sport, not to disparage what the women's basketball did, but I'm talking, you know, look at the numbers that go to the games, one of those sports, you know? And I think it's just – We really like to complain. I think we don't know how good we have it, but I do think that when our friends or whatever say, hey, saw your Iowa coach in the news again for cussing out a ref, it's kind of like, yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I think it's just getting to people. I do think Fran belongs here. I think the more he opens up to people, the more they'll see both sides. But I do think he finds himself in a really tough situation with his sons there, that's for sure. But anyway, love listening to you guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, having your son and soon-to-be sons on the team is – it magnifies things.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to be able to compartmentalize. And it's easy to say that, and I'm not sure any coach can do that when they've got their sons on the team. And look – fans complain. Fans have complained since the dawn of time. You go back to a Chicago White Stockings game back in the Cap Anson days in the late 1800s. I'm sure there were fans sitting in the stands complaining at the West Side grounds about the team play. I mean, it's the nature of fandom.
Every team, every fan base from middle school age through the professionals complain. Ask and parents of Little League kids.
Yeah. Look, it had to have been a tremendously trying season, not just for Fran McCaffrey, but Margaret McCaffrey as well, because her passion is unrivaled for not only her husband, but for her.
And her name got dragged into some
Mama
things
Grizzly.
This year as well.
She's been Mama Grizzly, even going back to Siena before the kids were playing when there was a notable run-in with some officials there. So rough year all around for the McCaffrey family. We got to squeeze in Brandon. Brandon, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. We got about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey guys. So, I don't have anything against Fran. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad coach. Saying that, I don't think he's a great coach either. I think he's good. And when I think it was a couple callers ago, you know, said that, you know, Iowa, they re-complained and then, Fran brought us to where we wanted to be, and now we're complaining now. Well, one of the things I want to ask is when has it ever been acceptable to be complacent or accept the norm? You know, I like what Fran did for the team, and I like where he brought us, but you know, what's wrong with now wanting to take that next step? What's wrong for wanting to be a good team, an okay team, to being a great team? And so that's where I think where a lot of the fans are frustrated, is because now we're ready for say, hey, you know, we want someone to take us further. And I just don't think Fran could do that.
All right, Brandon, appreciate the question. And this gets us back to one of the age-old sports discussion topics. The grass is not always greener on the other side of the hill. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes you go from Hayden Fry to Kirk Ferentz and you go, hey, it was a little rough there for a while. Everything worked out. Sometimes you go from Ron Turner, to keep it in the Big Ten football family here. Ron Turner had Illinois playing some pretty decent football. And you go from Turner to Ron Zook and was there somebody?
Tim Beckman. Yeah. I would have forgotten about him too.
And Joe Tiller at Purdue, sort of pushed aside at Purdue. And they had to go through Danny Hope. And then they had to go through Daryl Hazel. And now it looks like they've got a guy who's going to get them, but the grass isn't always greener. And so what's wrong with not being complacent? There's a lot of risk involved in wanting a change, making a change, because there is no guarantee that the result you're going to get is going to be better than what you had.
It puts the pressure on the athletic director to make the right hire.
And it's the first time we've mentioned Gary Barta on today's program, and it's 5:57. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will set the table for the third and final hour of the program. Back with more after this.
Having trouble starting your trimmer, chainsaw, or leaf blower? Say goodbye to those starting problems and improve your equipment's performance with TruFuel, the original ready-to-use fuel, available in 32 or 110-ounce cans. TruFuel is the ethanol-free, precision-engineered fuel that empowers your equipment to start strong and run great every time. Power through yard work with TruFuel, available at your local home and garden center today.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, respectively. Todd Brummelkamp and Alex Kuhn with you till 7 o'clock tonight. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll get you another big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. The 6 o'clock showdown on tap tonight as well. Your opportunity to win a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. Seven questions inside 60 seconds, and when we return, the Cedar Rapids Colonels open the 2019 Midwest League season tomorrow night at 6:35 at home against the Peoria Chiefs. They're the Class A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. First-year Colonels manager Brian Dinkelman joins the program. He'll give us a preview of what to expect. All of that to come inside the 6 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. More on the way after this. 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Back with hour number three next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
SPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. One day after becoming the first Murray State player to be named a first-team All-American, Ja Morant will declare for the NBA draft. He's about to make his announcement. Tennessee guard Jordan Bone will also enter the draft, but will keep his options open to return to school. Buzz Williams is the new head basketball coach at Texas A&M. He takes over for Billy Kennedy, who was fired in March after eight seasons on the job. The Indians signed manager Terry Francona to a two-year extension. Francona's deal now runs through the 2022 season. Shortstop Francisco Lindor will miss at least two more weeks with a sprained left ankle. Baseball today, Twins and Royals tied at six in the ninth.
A 3-2 count to Eddie Rosario here in the ninth inning. Runner stays, the payoff pitch, line to right near the line. That ball sinking and falling down for a hit. Byron's going to score. Twins take a 7-6 lead here in the ninth. Eddie Rosario with an RBI hit, and the Twins have the lead.
On the Treasure Island Baseball Network, the Twins win it 7-6. Elsewhere, the Blue Jays get two home runs from Randall Grichuk and beat the Orioles 5-3. Tigers beat the Yankees 2-1 on a Gordon Beckham home run in the eighth. The Padres beat the Diamondbacks 4-1. Manny Machado's first Padres home run is a two-run shot. Lawyers for Patriots owner Robert Kraft filed court documents today alleging police in Florida allegedly illegally searched the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. That's where Kraft and 24 other men face charges of paying for sex.
Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and the Golden State Warriors head to Staples Center to face the Los Angeles Lakers. Coverage begins tomorrow at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their five PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
Welcome back in the Ty Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, 1600 AM, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, your home all summer long for Minnesota Twins baseball. Twins getting ready to take on the Royals tonight. And the Twins Farm Club here in Cedar Rapids getting ready to kick off the season. As a matter of fact, just about a little over 24 hours from now, they'll be throwing out the first pitch at Veterans Memorial Stadium tomorrow as the Colonels take on the Peoria Chiefs, the Class A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Joining us now to preview the upcoming season and give us an update on this year's team, it's Brian Dinkelman, friend of the show, first-year Colonels manager. And Brian, good to have you back in town. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
I'm looking at the roster here. You guys could have saved a whole lot of time by not packing up the locker room last September. There are a lot of returning faces back this year. That's going to help you as a first-year manager.
Yeah, you could have left some guys here over the winter, I guess, since we got so many guys coming back for second time around. So it'll be good to have some guys some experience in this league and familiar with Cedar Rapids. So we're looking for good things out of those guys.
The last time we chatted with you, you had just learned your new coaching staff for the season. Were you able to build any type of rapport with them in Fort Myers?
Yeah, we had a good 6 weeks down there. Got to meet, Ryan Smith, our new hitting guy, and Lou Rodriguez and Virgil Vasquez. So, we were together for 4 or 5 weeks and got to know each other and kind of how we think about the game and looking forward to working with these guys for the season.
Now, in spring training, especially on the minor league side, I know they shuttle guys in and out and up and down levels until the rosters are set, but how often did this group work together in spring training?
Yeah, we started the first few weeks working together, during our drill work and when we started playing games, and then we kind of got shuffled around a little bit for a few days. Then the last week or so, we were all together. So we got some experience with each other and getting to know our players there over the last week or so pretty well. So we feel like we got a good rapport going into the season.
How would you describe this roster to the fans?
Yeah, I think we're balanced on both sides of the ball. I know we're excited about our starting rotation. Got a couple guys returning, and Inlow and Belazovic. And then we got some good guys that are coming here for the first time. And Sands and Winder are going to be in our starting rotation. So we're excited about that. And we got some good, young, exciting hitters, too, and Severino and Celestino, a couple guys who are getting their first taste of the Midwest League. So we're excited about kind of the overall dynamics of the team.
Tell us a little bit more about Junior Severino. He was a guy who got just a little bit of a taste of Cedar Rapids late last season, but a top 10 prospect in the organization.
Yeah, he came up here for the last couple of games of the playoffs last year, so got to chat with him a little bit last year, but we're excited about him. He's young, good hitter from both sides of the plate. Got him from the Braves whenever they kind of lost some of their prospects there and the deal they had going on. So, future's bright for him. He can definitely swing the bat from both sides of the plate.
You mentioned Blaine Inlow coming back and returning. You got to see him all of last year. What areas do you want to see him progress and take a step forward this year?
Yeah, seeing Blaine down in spring training this year, I thought his body language and demeanor was a lot better than it was last season. First time kind of out of high school and his first full season in pro ball. He had some ups and downs last season. I think he learned from that last year. So I think he'll be prepared this year. And I know the organization is working on trying to get his breaking ball back to what it was when he was drafted. So I know that's one thing he's been focusing on. And he looked good during spring training throwing the ball.
I know when Jeremy Zoll was in town for the hot stove banquet, he mentioned Balazovic as a guy who could come back here. What did you see from him last year, and what does he need to work on this year?
Yeah, you know, his first time here last year, I thought he did all right, you know, working on his command, being around the zone a little bit more. And he's another, like, Blaine. He had a good spring, I thought, threw the ball well. So we'll have those two guys kind of the top rotation for the first two games, and hopefully they get us onto a good roll.
Brian Dinkelman, Colonel's manager, joining us ahead of the home opener tomorrow, season opener against the Peoria Chiefs. How much does the staff benefit from having a couple veteran guys behind the plate in Ben Rodriguez and David Banuelos?
Yeah, it's good to have a couple guys back there who's worked with these guys a little bit and knows what their strengths are, so somebody that the pitchers can rely on and trust back there. So it's good that those guys have thrown at them before and had the experience with them, so I'm glad to have David and Ben back behind the plate for us.
Now we're going to knock on wood and hope that the weather continues heading in this direction. This has been much better than last year around this time, but what is this sort of beginning of the season like for a lot of guys who, quite honestly, haven't really seen weather under 60 degrees in their life?
Yeah, you know, it's something different for some guys. You know, it takes a few games or weeks to get used to the cold a little bit, and hopefully they can adjust to it quickly and not let it drag on too long. So I know some guys have never experienced cold like this before, so we'll get them out there. And we've been outside practicing the last couple of days to try to get them accustomed to it. So hopefully they're used to it by now and be ready to go tomorrow.
As we mentioned, this will be your first year in the dugout as the manager. Have you had any moments at spring training where you were sort of still getting used to that lead role?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit different as a manager or whatever. As the hitting coach before, I felt like I was always focused on just the hitters and position players. And now I kind of got to balance it out with the pitching staff as well, and working with Virgil on, you know, making decisions on who we're going to bring in or plans going into the game if you get in certain situations. So that's kind of the new role for me, is just kind of balancing both sides of the ball.
Having a guy like Ryan Smith on your staff who is so analytics-driven, has it ever amazed you how much – I feel like a couple years ago we were talking about analytics trickling into the minor leagues. Now it seems they're here, and they're here to stay.
Yeah, I think they are here. I think we still have a balance of both, but we have definitely implemented the analytics into offense and defense and pitching and everything. So, yeah, we're gonna use some analytics to hopefully help make the players better, and then also still a little bit of old school playing the game the right way too. So it's definitely here, and I don't think it's going anywhere for a while. So players they're learning about it and getting accustomed to it, and hopefully make them better players.
How difficult is that for you, first as a coach and then as a manager, because you guys grow up playing the game. It's a competitive game. It's about winning. And you get to the minor leagues, it's about development. It's not always about winning. And I think sometimes people don't understand that.
Right, yeah. You know, the minor leagues is where you develop as a player. Don't always worry so much about your numbers. It's about learning the game, developing, and moving your way up the system. You know, winning's good. You know, it makes the clubhouse better. It makes the atmosphere fun to be around. But you know, the main thing is developing, and then hopefully you can win some ball games along the way with it.
The Twins are notorious for having a lot of recognizable names on the minor league side during spring training and in the dugouts throughout the season. Have you leaned on any of those guys for tips as far as managing?
Yeah, you know, I go back to just the guys who were here before me with, you know, Toby Gardenhire, who now is down at Fort Myers, and even Tommy Watkins, who's up in the big leagues now coaching first base. You know, with the new role for me, I tried to talk to them a little bit the last few weeks during spring training just to see how they've done things before, and being around them, trying to ask them for any advice of what to expect this season. So they've been a big help for me.
What has it been like seeing those guys progress through the Twins organization despite all the turnover that's gone on at the top of the organization?
Yeah, it's good to see. You know, they still promote within, even though they have made some changes within the organization, to know that, you know, they will promote within the organization. So that's good to see. And keep working and learning how the game's played, and implementing the new analytics that they're trying to push across. So just learning each day, and hopefully become a better coach with it.
Well, Brian, best of luck tomorrow against the Peoria Chiefs, and we look forward to seeing you out at the ballpark this summer, and I'm sure we'll be touching base with you over the next couple months.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Brian Dinkelman, the first-year manager of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, former Minnesota Twins infielder. He's been the hitting coach here in Cedar Rapids the last couple seasons and now gets his turn in the dugout. And it's always interesting hearing a talk of the analytics being brought to the minor league side of things. And I know that's a difficult thing for fans to embrace. I've been a baseball fan almost all my life, and I'm not a huge fan of analytics taking over the game, but it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And I think there is some benefit there. I think you've got to find the happy medium. And I don't know whether a lot of this stuff is even going to be noticeable to the naked eye, especially a minor league baseball game where people are going. It's a social event. You're going to drink beer. Z102.9 sponsoring Mug Club again, once again, which, by the way, the first Mug Club of the year will be this Friday as the Chiefs remain in town for the opening homestand of the season. You can get the first mug of beer at regular price, and then refills are cheap all throughout the season on Friday nights if you bring the mug back. I don't know whether people are going to notice this or not, but it is fascinating to hear talk at the Class A level of, you know, things like pitch framing and, you know, batting average and balls in play and various other things that 20, even 15, 10 years ago weren't on the minds of minor league coaches and guys in player development.
I think that to the naked eye, you'll probably just go to the ballpark and see what you're seeing in Major League Baseball, the trends that you're seeing in Major League Baseball. Less balls put in play, more home runs, more strikeouts, and a lot of defensive shifts. And that, I feel like, as I said, I feel like a couple years ago we were just sort of talking about it trickling in and more analytics were being used. And it's hard to have analytics when you have players who you don't know much about, who haven't played a year of full season ball, but they still find a way to do it.
You know, growing up, I always thought the worst thing that you could do is strike out. And I was really good at striking.
That's what I was told.
I played at the wrong time, because if I were playing right now, even back in high school, hey, strikeouts are okay. It's no big deal. Now, strikeouts are okay if you come up and hit a two-run bomb the next time. I didn't necessarily do that. I usually struck out the next time that I came up. But every dog has his day. I drew the occasional walk. I was the three true outcome player. You struck out, you walked, or you struck out again. That was usually my career in a nutshell.
So you were like the Aaron Judge of...
Minus the 40 home run potential. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go with that. We've talked so much, and this is going to transition about back to Major League Baseball, but how do you get a young generation interested in the game? And when you look, and I've watched some of the early games so far this year, I'm seeing pitchers striking out 13 guys, 12 guys over seven. The strikeouts are going up. The offense is down. The A's game last night, while it was great, the A's in Boston won nothing. As a true baseball fan, I enjoy that. You know who doesn't? The casual fan. They want to see home runs. They want to see stolen bases, which stolen bases are sort of going by the wayside due to the whole analytics phase and, you know, the value of keeping a runner on first base as opposed to having him thrown out at second base and things of that nature. I don't necessarily know if this is great for growing the game, but you see swings back and forth all the time. And right now, I think we're trending toward the pitching. And I know Major League Baseball's experimenting with the cooperation of the Atlantic League and moving the mound back and doing some other things that could maybe help benefit or spur the offense along. I don't know whether we'll see any of these things matriculate to the major league level or not, but there's no doubt in my mind that baseball's nearing a crossroad, not only as far as how the game is played, how it's presented to fans, but then also you've got the labor situation that's just festering on the side of the road here as we see players like Germán Márquez and Randall Grichuk getting multi-year extensions. Nothing against Marquez, who's a fantastic pitcher with the Rockies, but Randall Grichuk getting an extension from Toronto.
How did that happen? Why? I don't understand.
They view him as a part of the future. Grichuk, who was here in Cedar Rapids back in 2010 and 2011, 2010 along with fellow first-round draft pick Mike Trout. Perhaps you've heard of him. When these guys are getting extensions, to me it shows that they don't have much faith in the free agency process. We saw Ronald Acuna didn't get a chance to talk about this on Tuesday's show, but Ronald Acuna may have sold himself $100 million short with the Atlanta Braves.
He probably did, at least $100 million.
What do you do? Do you take the chance that you got to play 6 years to get to free agency and six productive and most importantly healthy years? Or for a guy who signed for, I think it was $200,000, you're set for life. You got $100 million guaranteed, but would you gamble on getting the $300 million? He's still going to hit free agency, 28 years old, 29 years old, so he's still got a chance to make a huge payday. But all of these things are pointing to labor strife. Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel are still out there unsigned.
The Ronald Acuna one caught my attention because over the past few years, we're seeing those bridge contracts and of players who didn't want to bet on themselves necessarily, who sort of took the money. And this is the example I use close to me because it's the one I know. The Cardinals did it with about four different players. Piscotty, Colton Wong,
Paul DeYoung.
They did that. But when you see guys like Ronald Acuna, who are at a much higher level than any of those guys.
He's a superstar. He's a budding superstar.
Exactly. Those superstar-type players not wanting to bet on themselves, that's when you start to wonder if there's a problem, or that's when you start to know there's a problem.
It's kind of like going to the casino and going to the craps table and betting with the house. I mean, it's not often in casino games where you find yourself rooting for the casino. But that's sort of what's going on here. These players they're not necessarily betting on their fellow players. And that's where it gets interesting to me is I think there are probably some guys who are sharing clubhouses who are coming up on free agency themselves who are looking around going, you guys aren't necessarily helping out things. And you've got the flip side here where a team like the Yankees and they go through an offseason where they're not in on Machado, they're not in on Harper, and they go, well, that's okay because Trout's going to hit free agency in 2 years, and all these other guys are going to be free. Nolan Arenado, well, whoops. Arenado's signed an extension. Trout signed an extension. All these guys are signing it. So if you were putting your eggs into the free agency basket in 2020, 2021, 2022, you're out of luck right now. The Yankees have more problems than that right now. They can't stay healthy. I'm sure you saw Luke Voit got hit on the... Did they teach that language in school down there? Did you read his lips the other night when he got hit by Joe Jimenez of the Tigers?
All I saw was the viral picture of the imprint that the ball left on his
arm.
That
was pretty impressive. I think I'm not much of a lip reader, but I think he wished Joe Jimenez luck.
Yeah,
called him a very lucky something along those lines. Again, I'm not very much of a lip reader, but
do you remember his first at bat where he was hit on the back? I can't remember one of the Pirates relievers hit him on the back in his first ever major league at bat.
Yes, yeah, we talked about that.
We talked about that, and his dad Lou showed me the picture of the welt that he got after getting hit by a 96 mile an hour fastball on the back. It's pretty scary. I wouldn't want to do that. That thing was swollen like half a baseball.
Oh, after so much basketball talk so far today, it was nice to talk a little baseball. Colonels opening tomorrow, 6:35, just about 24 hours from now. Tickets available, colonels.com. And you can also buy them at the Colonels ticket office, or you can tune in to Scott Unash and Mark Dukes tomorrow on the Gym Class. The rest of this week, they've got tickets, family four packs, to see the Colonels this season. So, an opportunity to win tickets if you don't want to buy them. And again, best of luck going out to Brian Dinkelman. Thank you for him joining us today as we preview another season of Midwest League Baseball here in Cedar Rapids. playoffs will be here before you know. I don't know. I don't want to fast forward through summer all that much. 6 o'clock hour. We'll continue with more after this.
The Colonels are back, and it's time to party at the park. Opening night for your Cedar Rapids Colonels is Thursday, April 4th. Join us for opening night at Colonels Baseball and enjoy fresh popcorn, jumbo hot dogs, and ice-cold beverages. Remember to grab your 2019 magnet schedule at the game and mark down all the great promotions for the upcoming season. Be there when the Colonels take the field on Thursday, April 4th. Get your tickets now by visiting Colonels.com for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Spring is finally here, so it's time to refresh your internet service at a great price by switching to IMON. For a limited time, get IMON 80 megabit internet for just $54 a month and lock in this special rate for the next 2 years. We'll throw in a free Wi-Fi router for 3 months, and if you're already in a contract with another provider, we'll even help with your buyout. So switch to IMON's fast, reliable internet service today. It's like the difference between winter and spring. Go to imon.net/radio before April 28th to get this great deal. New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and corporate extension tax filings. They provide tax returns that are audit-proofed with their value-added data match service. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. Community CPA.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
1600 AM, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. A big thank you going out to Brian for giving us a preview of the Colonels. And just a reminder, as we mentioned, Z102.9, our friends from down the hall, once again sponsoring Mug Club Night on Fridays at Veterans Memorial Stadium this season. Your opportunity to purchase the first draft beer in the reusable mug, and then refills are usually about half price. Plus, you can bring the mug back the remainder of the Friday home games this season and pay the refill price from your first drink on. That's a Z102.9 Mug Club, the first of which will be about 48 hours from now as the Colonels wrap up a brief two-game home opener with the Peoria Chiefs. They've got Nolan Gorman on the roster, the first-round draft pick out of high school last year, third baseman of the future for the Cardinals, if he manages to make his way, maneuver his way successfully through the minor leagues and get to the major. Saw him last year very briefly, really, really good bat. He's got some pop. You expect him to get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger as he comes up through the system, and Cardinals have to definitely like what they got there, especially picking where they did in the draft. We'll get you a big board update here shortly, and in just a few minutes, your opportunity to win a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. That'll be the prize inside the 6 o'clock showdown tonight. Don't forget, check those brackets at KGYMradio.com. Somebody is going to win $500 thanks to Imon Communications for once again sponsoring the KGYM Bracket Challenge down to the final four. One number one seed making it all the way through. That's Virginia. Join the KGAN team again tonight. I believe 9 o'clock you will see us on the Channel 2 News. Alex and I chatted with them earlier today for the final time this basketball season. for the final time tonight. He brings you a big board update. It's brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. Keep them in mind the next time you've got a home improvement project. Alexander Lumber bringing you this big board update.
The Hawkeye fan base has been going bananas since late last night when it was hit by the shrapnel of a report regarding Nevada's Eric Musselman. Mark Chavez of LoboLair.com reported that Arkansas representatives flew to Iowa City to explore McCaffrey as a candidate for the Arkansas head coaching job, as well as Musselman and Minnesota's Richard Pitino. Rob Howe reached out to McCaffrey, who denied any involvement in that job search, but Scott Docterman found flight records that, frankly, 100% fall in line with the report. It should be mentioned McCaffrey himself was at an iClub event in Des Moines during the time frame in question, although that doesn't necessarily mean a meeting, perhaps with his agent, didn't occur. Iowa scored a late run yesterday to beat Clark University 3-2 and is now on a season-best five-game winning streak. Chris Whalen came through with the go-ahead RBI on a sac fly in the eighth inning, and the Hawkeyes had another quick turnaround for another rescheduled game time. They're hosting Illinois State right now rather than at 6 o'clock to beat the rain, and it looks like that winning streak may be coming to an end, barring any late comebacks. Iowa trails 6-2 right now in the bottom of the sixth. Megan Gustafson's season and career is over, but we're not done hearing her name just yet. She was named a first-team All-American by the Writers Association today, and that's her second first-team distinction already, and there are more teams and Player of the Years to come in the coming week. We don't have any baseball or basketball or anything for you, so after the show tonight, we're just going to pass it off to nationally syndicated ESPN programming.
Iowa was supposed to play softball in Cedar Falls today against UNI, but the inclement weather has forced a reschedule of that game. It'll be made up April 30th at 5 o'clock in Cedar Falls. The Hawkeyes back in Big Ten play this weekend as they travel to Madison. 5 o'clock first pitch against the Badgers. Right now, we need callers number 1 and 2 to 319-366-1600. It is time to play the 6 o'clock showdown. It is on the line tonight, a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. You can find Mulligan's at 1060 Old Marion Road. Happy hour nightly from 3 until 6. On Thursdays at Mulligan's, it's half-price wings. Again, callers 1 and 2, you're going to get first crack at the $30 gift card inside the showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Whoever answers the most questions correctly will be off to Mulligan's. Again, 366-1600. Scott and Mark, by the way, for those of you who have baseball fever in Eastern Iowa with the return of the Colonels tomorrow, Scott and Mark are going to have another family four-pack of tickets to see the Colonels. Just tune in tomorrow to the gym class at 3 o'clock, and you could win. And we have had two contestants lined up for the 6 o'clock showdown, and then they disappeared. I don't know what happened there.
Kirk in Cedar Rapids was on with us. So, Kirk, if you dropped off, I think he did, give us a call back.
And whoever the name of the athletic director is in Fayetteville, Arkansas. No, go ahead, coach. Call them hogs. It's funny because last night we're talking about Steve Alford for Arkansas, and today we've talked about an Iowa basketball coach in Arkansas, and it wasn't Steve Alford. It's funny how things change in 24 hours. We've got James in Cedar Rapids. He's going to be answering my questions, and Kirk in Cedar Rapids is back on board with us tonight. Again, 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, just say pass. If we've got some time, we'll circle back around to you. James, hold tight and remain silent. We will let Alex and Kirk determine whether they would like to go first or second tonight.
As always, I will ask Kirk. Kirk, what do you want to do, first or second?
Let's go first.
All right. Well, he wants to take the ball and run with it.
Okay, so hang tight, James. Kirk, you know the deal. Alex, you can explain it to him again.
If you don't, I was 60 seconds, 7 questions. If you don't know the answer, just say pass, and we will return to it. Are you ready?
Go.
All right. What was the result of Bryce Harper's first at-bat in D.C. last night?
Strikeout.
Correct.
Brand McCaffrey and this fellow Big Ten hoops coach both got linked to the Arkansas opening last night.
Pitino.
Who is the Iowa baseball team hosting at Duane Banks Field today? Illinois State, Southern Illinois, or Western Illinois?
Pass.
True or false, the Chicago Blackhawks were still alive for a playoff berth before last night?
False.
It's incorrect.
Which Final Four team features a former Iowa basketball assistant as its head coach?
Bruce Pearl, Auburn.
Iowa football has a defensive position that shares a name with a country music legend. What is it?
Cash.
Buzz Williams is the new coach at this SEC school.
Texas A&M.
Who is the Iowa baseball team hosting today at Duane Banks Field? Illinois State, Southern Illinois, or Western?
He's got five, which is pretty darn
Illinois
good.
State?
And it was Illinois State, Illinois a little State. Bit after the buzzer there, Kirk. But hang tight. James, we've got some work to do here. Do you think you can maybe get five, maybe six here?
We're going to try.
All right. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. What Big Ten team does the Iowa baseball team host for a three-game series this weekend?
Pass.
Name the teams in the Final Four, all four of them.
Notre Dame, Auburn. I'm thinking of the women's. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. Name two of the three departing seniors on the Iowa women's basketball team.
Gustafson and Tamara Banks.
Which NBA player had 20-plus points, rebounds, and assists in a game last night?
Russell Westbrook.
Correct. Which NBA player is suing the co-founder of his own shoe brand?
Pass.
What NFL quarterback reportedly gave his team an April 15th deadline for a contract extension?
Eli Manning.
Who was the only Major League Baseball team without a loss coming into the day today?
Phillies.
That's correct. You did manage to get three, but unfortunately, James, it was not enough. Kirk, hang tight. We're going to put
better than last time. Three's better than last time.
And he was so close on a couple of them.
Kirk, hang tight. We're going to put you on hold, and Kyle's going to let you know how you get your hands on the $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. Again, Mulligan's a great place to catch a game or just hang out with friends after work on the weekends. Lots of TVs, happy hour from 3 until 6. Tomorrow night, Half Price Wings, 1060 Old Marion Road. Easy to find off the 42nd Street exit. Just take 42nd Street East until it tees out with Old Marion Road. Let's go over some of the missed answers here. The Hawkeyes will host Rutgers this weekend. The teams in the Final Four, Michigan State, Auburn, Texas Tech, and Virginia. That would be the men's Final Four. Three departing seniors for Lisa Bluter and the Iowa women, Megan Gustafson, Tania Davis, and Hannah Stewart. Lonzo Ball suing the co-founder of the Big Baller brand. That's about as predictable as it comes right there. And Russell Wilson giving the Seahawks until April 15th to work out a contract extension.
So the Illinois State question, I believe, was the only... No, so Iowa's playing Illinois State today, and also the Chicago Blackhawks, who are playing the St. Louis Blues tonight, were, in fact, alive for a playoff berth before last night.
They were alive going into last night. That is the wording in the question, so true or false, and the answer being true, unfortunately, they are now out of the Stanley Cup playoff picture, which several months ago would not have been all that unheard of. But they played well for a little bit of a stretch. They kind of had clawed their way back into the playoff picture. Great seasons from Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And
Alex DeBrincat was awesome.
Yes, he was. And I don't know what they've got in Jeremy Colliton as far as a head coach. They made the decision back in November to move on from Joel Quenneville. Colliton had a lot of people buzzing about him at the time. I don't think he had the best roster to work with. There were issues with Corey Crawford and his health this year, but we'll see. Time to turn the page to next season if you are a fan of the Chicago Blackhawks. Again, thank you to both of our contestants inside the showdown tonight, and we'll have another opportunity for you to win a $30 gift card. As a matter of fact, two of them being given away on Friday's program, which will be co-hosted by Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com, along with Alex, as I attend to some personal business over the next couple days. A big thank you to Rob, by the way, who is a good friend and a terrific guy at HawkeyeNation.com. I think he'll be tremendous. Those of you who listen to the 6 o'clock hour on Fridays are pretty familiar with Rob. He will bring a lot of Iowa knowledge to the table, but he's a longtime sports fan as well, so should be a good pairing over the next couple days. And for those of you wondering why Kyle will not be here, Kyle has some vacation days he's taking as well. So a little bit of a new look lineup here for just 2 days, and I think you guys will have plenty to talk about, especially tomorrow.
I think we will as well. And Friday, we're going to have some guests. Jack Dom will be making his
first stop. It's baseball season, and you can't have baseball season in Eastern Iowa without the Mount Mercy head coach making his weekly debut, touching all the bases. So we'll catch up with him. And
a big hour on Friday.
Who does Rob was working on Tyler Cook. I don't know whether he officially had him.
I was going to... I'm not sure if it was official, but that was my understanding as well.
Okay.
We will find out.
Iowa basketball fans will get his thoughts on a wild and wacky Iowa basketball news week. Hey, outside of Macy Daly transferring, you would have looked and said, you know what, it's going to be a pretty quiet off season in Iowa City with the basketball program, and then some yahoo winds up blowing the lid off of things on Twitter last night saying, yeah, Richard Pitino, Fran McCaffrey, and Eric Musselman for Arkansas. You know, like one of these things is not like the other. Actually, two of those things, because Pitino, if you were Arkansas, would you be interested in Richard Pitino?
No.
Any SEC school bringing the Pitino brand to and everything that comes with it.
He's not all that successful as a head coach either.
No, it's you're buying the name. And that's about it at this point. It might fool some people some of the time, but you're never going to fool all of the people all of the time. If you have a recognizable last name, you better get it done. You better win games, because the name is only going to carry you so far in your coaching career.
I didn't think Mike Anderson was all that bad of a coach. I thought that he sort of stabilized the program, brought in some pretty good recruits. And they were in the NCAA tournament, what, four times in the last 5 years, and they had a couple of first-round draft picks. And this is going to be a situation where I think they're going to – you talk about a program that thinks that the grass is always greener on the other side, Arkansas.
They've been chasing
– basketball. I think they're going to find a very similar situation. Good luck trying to find a coach that's better than Mike Anderson.
They have been chasing the greener grass since Nolan Richardson was pushed aside. And I'm glad you brought football into the equation, too, there, because Brett Bielema thought he could get things done there. Didn't happen. And that program has been trying to find its way out of mediocrity in the SEC. It's one thing to sit there and say, you know what, we're tired of the direction of the program. We'll go get some fresh blood. And it doesn't always work out. And I know that you got people saying, man, we'll help Fran McCaffrey pack. If he wants to leave for Arkansas, we'll help him pack, which, again, probably isn't what Fran necessarily wants to hear. But for those of you who may be unaware, there was a rumor that bubbled to the surface last night that Fran McCaffrey was drawing some interest from Arkansas for its open coaching job. I don't think my gut feeling tells me that there's nothing there other than perhaps a conversation, which Fran McCaffrey denies, says he didn't talk to Arkansas. Nobody in his circle has spoken to Arkansas. That's the official word from Fran McCaffrey, according to Rob. And I think there's reason to be skeptical there. The FlightAware software tracking that small plane on Monday to just so happens to have made three stops. One in Iowa City, one in Minneapolis, and one in Reno, Nevada. Now, that's either somebody covering their bases and trying to throw people off the trail, or there is smoke to this fire. It doesn't have to be necessarily a four-alarm fire, but a fire nonetheless. 366-1600, the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. And I want to mention a conversation I had with Kyle. I poked my head out after the second hour. Right before 6 o'clock, and I said, is it just me, or did you feel like we got really good, well thought out, in-depth phone calls today on the program? I thought the engagement from the listeners today was better than maybe it's ever been in the past. And Chris Earle at TV9 is going to take credit for that because he was our first caller today. It will have nothing to do with Chris Earle, but we do love hearing from him from time to time. But I thought even the guy who called in and dogged on Fran McCaffrey, I thought he backed up how he felt. He laid it out there. I'm never going to...
I didn't dispute anything that he said, any of his
He
facts.
Said, oh, you guys aren't going to give me the time. And we gave... Look, you always will get the time if you're respectful and you can put your words together in a relatively coherent sentence. I'm going to give you the time here. I think I owe that to you for being a listener to the program. So I think maybe we opened at least one set of eyes or ears today that, hey, if I pick up the phone and I call in and I say an opinion that these guys aren't going to agree with or anything, they're going to hang up on me. That's not the case. 366-1600. We need to take a final timeout. When we return, CBS Sports has its latest NFL mock draft. Where, oh, where are TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant going in the latest one of many mock drafts that are floating around there? This one by Will Brinson at CBS Sports will tell you where those guys are headed, could be headed, when we return after this.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary donor wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the donor wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
Flying along the trails, roughing it off-road, or just keeping up with the kids this summer. Come get the new bike or accessories you've been wanting during the spring sale at Hall Bicycle. Tomorrow through April 15th, get the best deals on everything at Hall Bicycle. Save on every Trek bike, up to $400 off. Save on all the accessories you want too. It is time to get ready to ride during the spring sale. Tomorrow through April 15th at Hall Bicycle, 419 2nd Avenue in downtown Cedar Rapids. Serving cyclists since 1898.
Command to truck. We need to vent that roof.
Roger that. Come on, get that saw up here. On this job, we keep our equipment starting fast and running strong with True Fuel. We can't risk engine failure from the ethanol corrosion and separation you get from gas station gas. And at home, I trust ready-to-use True Fuel in my trimmer and leaf blower, so I don't have to mix oil and gas myself.
For pro performance and everyday convenience, trust True Fuel. Available at your local lawn and garden dealer.
Winter is coming to the Seven Kingdoms. That's a legitimate fear, but you shouldn't fear freedom. No annual contract and no bulky hardware is something to celebrate. You don't have to fear cutting the cord and switching to DirecTV Now, especially since DirecTV Now Plus and Max packages include HBO at no extra charge. So you get all the best movies and original shows like Veep, and you can catch every episode of the final season of Game of Thrones premiering April 14th. Don't fear freedom. Get DirecTV Now. Compatible device required. Charges, exclusions, and restrictions apply.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production. And it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
You may tell yourself that watching the world's best basketball tourney on your phone is okay. Heck, everyone else does it. Well, everyone else is wrong. Tiny screens, cell phone speakers, earbuds. Nope, nope, and double nope. Basketball belongs to the big screen. So put your phone on pipe down mode and come to B-Dubs where the screens are huge and the fans are you. Your hands will be so filled with wings and beers, you'd be hard-pressed to hold one of those nerdy pocket TVs. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
I can only laugh at that because that is how my son has decided to wake me up.
Roaring?
The last couple days. He roars like a dinosaur. So there I am in what little sleep we've been getting because he's been at home under the weather and There's a little bed in his room, so Mom and I take turns sleeping in there with him to keep him calm at night. And 8 o'clock will roll around, and I'm in the middle of a nice, content dream, and what do I hear but roar, 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 until I finally roll over and look at him. And then once I'm awake, then he will whisper to me. Which, if you've been watching The Walking Dead this season, it's creepy now. Anytime he whispers to me, all I can think of is Alpha. But on Monday morning at 4 o'clock, he wanted to watch the Hawkeyes and make pizza, which is what we were going to do Monday night. Just not at 4:30 in the morning when he rolled over and said, "Daddy, let's watch the Hawkeyes make pizza."
At 4:30 in the morning?
4:30 in the morning. I know Greensboro is in a different time zone. He doesn't quite understand that, but it's not video on demand. We had to wait a while.
Maybe during the summer when they're playing the European All-Stars.
He hasn't, you know what's bothered me about my son lately? He has not been big into watching the Cubs. And then I watch the Cubs and I go, yeah, makes a whole ton of sense. Do I want to do this to my son? Do I want to bring him up as a fan of the Cubs? Because they're looking, at least this season, like the Cubs of my youth. 319-366-1600 as we make our way toward the end of tonight's program. Again, thank you very much for your calls and your texts on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. 319-366-1600 is that number. The mock draft I was alluding to from CBS Sports, I think, is very interesting because not only do you have two Iowa tight ends going in the first 12 picks, but Hakeem Butler, who's a guy that I had a ton of helium coming out of the scouting combine, Iowa State's former wide receiver, makes an appearance here as well. No surprise, TJ Hockenson at number 7 to Jacksonville, according to Will Brinson of CBS Sports. He says, tempting fate here by giving the Jaguars the option to draft Dwayne Haskins and let him learn under Nick Foles, but this Jags regime is too committed to winning right now to take a second option at quarterback. They ride and die with Foles, so why not give him an additional blocker in the run game who doubles as a lethal seam buster? 5 picks later, Noah Fant to Green Bay. Packers fans want this team to go after defense, but if you look at their free agency splurge, they can afford to get Aaron Rodgers some more weapons. Also, why wouldn't you want to add another matchup problem in Fant, who can learn from Jimmy Graham how to jump or something? Give Rodgers all the weapons. And then a couple more picks down the draft board here. Keeping in mind this is just a mock draft, at number 22, Hakeem Butler. There's no other way to slice it. The Baltimore Ravens have to improve at wide receiver in the draft, and Butler gives them a guy who has not been consistent in college, but who also has been crazy explosive. He should fit right in with this offense. Butler, I think it's sort of a lazy comp, but it's also sort of accurate. Devin Funchess.
That is so funny because that's exactly the comparison that my brother gave me.
Every time you read about Hakeem Butler, sometimes he doesn't make the catches that he needs to make.
He's a little stiff in the upper body, which I think people worry about. And the production, like you said, his junior or his sophomore year, redshirt sophomore year, he dropped a lot of passes when in situations where corners got physical with him. I thought he improved with that last year, but I wonder if he's going to be that big time number one go-to wide receiver, but I don't have any doubt that he's going to be a productive receiver at the next level. If that makes the ceiling, I'm not necessarily so sure about the floor. I think he's going to be a very solid player like Devin Funchess.
I got no issues with either one of those three guys being a first-round draft pick, and if you gave me the opportunity to put Noah Fant on my favorite NFL team right now with the 12th overall pick, I think I'd be pretty tempted to do it. As the author says, give Aaron Rodgers all the weapons. Improve defensively through free agency, which you've done. Draft some weapons on offense. 366-1600. the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Lots of opinions on Fran McCaffrey and Arkansas over the last 2.5 hours. Still no official word on Arkansas hiring anybody, but I think Eric Musselman of Nevada would be the leader in the clubhouse. He's one of the three names that has been thrown around. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com, as I mentioned, will be filling in for me the next 2 days here on this program. Rob has been all over the Fran McCaffrey rumors and got a direct response from Fran McCaffrey. No, no. Which is just picture Fran McCaffrey being bothered that he even has to address this. But you just, I'm not the only one who gets the feeling that there was a little something at play here, that a conversation did take place. And sometimes it's just nice to know that other people like you and appreciate your work. And maybe that's a message that he's trying to send to either Gary Barta and or a section of the Iowa fan base that has been very critical of both him and his son Connor this year. As we mentioned, it's a very difficult year for Fran McCaffrey in having to hear and read some of the things that were written or tweeted about his son. And I wouldn't blame him for being a little disappointed with where he's at right now. But he's got an ironclad contract. He's got the rolling extension with the NCAA tournament appearance this year. He ain't going anywhere. Rob is sitting in tomorrow. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com from the leaderboard in North Liberty. You'll hear from me next on Monday.
Larson just needs one more spot in Thunder Valley.
Bristol's my favorite track, so obviously...